You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NFL. Coming up on this edition of the program, we'll have interviews with Sonya Greenfield, Owen Whittleson, Scott Mason, and Dre Andrews. Sonya is the director of writer management and editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. We preview the Detroit Lions 2023 season opener against the Kansas City Chiefs and much more. Owen is the co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. The podcast covers the Kansas City Chiefs from a United Kingdom perspective, and he's also a contributor for 99 Yards. We'll get his take on the season opener between the Lions and the Chiefs. Also, we have Scott Mason on the program. He's the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast, where the podcast covers New York Jets content. We preview the New York Jets Monday night season opener against the Buffalo Bills, talk a little Aaron Rodgers and much more. And, of course, we have Dre Andrews. Dre is a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the owner of Dre's Homemade Water Ice and Ice Cream. We talk Philadelphia water ice, the city of Philadelphia, and, of course, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts and much more. So stay tuned. We have a jam-packed, power-packed show as we begin the first week of the NFL regular season for 2023. And, of course, we have your game picks, so stay tuned. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off talking about the 2023 NFL season. So, yes, the NFL season after a long wait. We haven't seen any NFL football since February, but guess what? Hey, a long time coming, but it was definitely worth the wait. So a lot has happened during the offseason. Aaron Rodgers, after great seasons with the Green Bay Packers, the four-time league MVP, heads from the Midwest to the East Coast to play for the New York Jets. Derek Carr, after being so loyal to the Raiders organization when it was in Oakland and in the Las Vegas era, now guess what? He has a new home. He makes his way from the West Coast to the Dirty South to be the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Then on top of that, you also have some, as they say, same faces, new places. Jamal Williams, Detroit Lions running back, now part of the New Orleans Saints. Jimmy Garoppolo goes from the 49ers to now play for the Las Vegas Raiders. Trey Lance, that situation didn't work out for him in San Francisco, traded to the Dallas Cowboys. I wonder what kind of pressure that's going to be on Dak Prescott. Very interesting. I'll tell you one thing, it's never a dull moment in the NFL. So many things have happened during this 2023 season. Dan Snyder, now the former owner of the Washington Commanders, winds up selling the team to Josh Harris. Of course, Harris is the leader of a group that bought the Washington Commanders, and some of the members of that group includes Magic Johnson, who is already a multi-billionaire. He's a part of the group that was responsible for buying the Washington Commanders from Dan Snyder. So it's a new era in Washington with Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, and their investment group as the new owners of the Washington Commanders. Also, Eric Bieniemy, no longer the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, now the new offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. So much has happened during the offseason that's brought us to this current point. Sean Payton returning to his coaching duties, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. The Nathaniel Hackett experiment, 1 year over with, out of here. And so Sean Payton becomes the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. It's a new era in Denver. Russell Wilson seems focused. He lost some weight during the offseason, so he's pumped. He's fired up. He's ready to go. Also, some new coaching changes. Indianapolis Colts have a brand new head coach, Shane Steichen. Shane was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. Also with the Eagles, Jonathan Gannon, no longer the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Also, we've got some rookie quarterbacks this year. A lot of eyes will be focused on the Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young. Also the Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud. The Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Richardson. Just a lot, again, so much has happened. It's never a dull moment in the NFL, whether it be during the season or in the offseason. A lot has happened and a lot continues to happen. So definitely never a dull moment, and that sets the stage for where we are right now for this current 2023 NFL season. My next storyline is going to be Chris Jones. When you talk about one of the premier defenders in the National Football League, Chris Jones is one of those top defensive tackles. Chris Jones could be the Patrick Mahomes on defense and what he brings to the table for Kansas City in terms of the pass rush. Now, we know Kansas City's MO since Patrick Mahomes has been there has always been offense alongside Travis Kelce. But one bright spot on the defensive side for the Kansas City Chiefs is Chris Jones. He's the anchor. He's the leader of that defense. And unfortunately, Chris has not reported to camp. Of course, Chris is in the final year of his contract, and during the offseason, it's been a jockey for position in terms of Chris wanting a new deal, wanting a new contract. Aaron Donald got rewarded with a new deal several seasons ago. Nick Bosa got a brand new deal, which I'll get into in just a little bit. But Chris, entering the final year of his contract, looking for a brand new deal, looking for a new contract extension. Him and the Chiefs are at odds right now. Chris has not reported to camp, and as a result of that, he received a mandatory fine of $50,000 for each day, he did not report to camp. And as a result of that, as this show is airing, he's currently placed on the reserve, did not report list. Listen, contract disputes are normal, whether it be in any profession of life. In professional sports, it's no exception to the rule. But look at what Chris has done, right? Last season, 15 and a half sacks. I mean, come on. They got to pay this guy, right? Chris Jones, as I stated earlier, he's the Patrick Mahomes on the defensive side for Kansas City. Again, a team that's never been known for defense since Mahomes has been there. But, hey, they've got Chris Jones. He's the anchor of the defense. They got to get that deal done. I believe they will get the deal done, but they have to pay him. And the power is really with Chris Jones. I know the owners, some people say the power is with the owners, and it's true to a certain extent. But, hey, this is a business, and you're going out there, you're giving it your all, you're giving 150%. And this is what Chris Jones has done, right, since he's been a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, being up two Super Bowl championship teams with Kansas City. You know, they have to pay this man. It's just no excuse. And we've seen contract disputes happen, especially in professional sports. And I hope they can get this deal done because they're going to need him, especially as the season goes on. And if this thing drags, especially later in the season, this could not be good for Kansas City. But I'm confident, I'm optimistic they'll get the deal done, but they got to get Chris Jones in there. That's mandatory. I mean, he's one of those premier defenders in the league, and he's so important to Kansas City. They got to get the deal done. And for my last storyline is going to be Nick Bosa. So while Chris Jones waits on his new deal, Nick Bosa was holding out too. Well, guess what? No more. Nick Bosa signed a five-year, $170 million contract extension with the San Francisco 49ers. That includes $122.5 million guaranteed money. This makes him the highest-paid defensive player in NFL history. Okay, so Nick was entering. This is the final year of Nick's rookie contract. And when you think about the 49ers the last several years, their MO has primarily been running game and defense. And Nick Bosa is the anchor of that defense. We talk about defensive linemen in the league with a Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, Nick Bosa, just to name a few. And also his brother, Joey Bosa, as well. Joey got his deal not too long ago, and now Nick got his deal. And it's definitely deserving of it, right? I mean, the 49ers, listen, if the 49ers don't have Nick Bosa at the start of this NFL season, man, teams will definitely take advantage of that. And his rookie year, he had 9 sacks. The 2020 season suffered a devastating injury. And then 2021, 15 and a half sacks. And then last year, 18 and a half sacks. I mean, Nick is just one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents. And then the 49ers, and kudos to their management, John Lynch, for getting this deal done. They had to get it done. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this one right here. So congratulations to Nick Bosa on signing his new contract extension, getting the guaranteed money, making him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. All right, that takes care of my top three storylines. And now we're going to get to the interviews because this is a jam-packed show, so I don't want to waste any time. I want to get now to the interview with Sonya Greenfield. Sonya is the Director of Writer Management and Editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. So when we come back from the break, Sonya will join me. We'll talk about the Lions season opener against the Chiefs. Also, we'll talk Jared Goff, head coach Dan Campbell, and much more. She's coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Wicked, Broadway's most popular musical, returns to New Orleans. Don't miss the untold true story of the Witches of Oz from November 29th through December 17th at the Sanger Theater. Tickets are on sale now. Wicked, it's the only musical with the power to defy gravity. Visit BroadwayInNewOrleans.com to get Wicked. Wicked, Broadway's most popular musical, returns to New Orleans. Don't miss the untold true story of the Witches of Oz from November 29th through December 17th at the Sanger Theater. Tickets are on sale now. Wicked, it's the only musical with the power to defy gravity. Visit BroadwayInNewOrleans.com to get Wicked.
Michael Badgley from 37 yards knocks it through. Here's the live field goal. Badgley knocks it through. From the 43 on first down, it's Williams bouncing to the outside. There goes the former Packer into Green Bay territory at the 44-yard line and a first down. Goff out of the pocket, taking a shot downfield, and free is Raymond. Raymond caught it down inside the one. Caleb Raymond with a huge play, and the Lions are on the doorstep of taking the lead. First and goal, Williams, to the right, to the end zone, to the lead, Detroit Lions touchdown. Williams into the end zone, the Lions retake the lead. Here's a blitz, can Rodgers beat it? Big ball downfield, and it is intercepted by Kirby Joseph. Joseph out of bounds around the 45. He's got Rodgers for the third time, and the Packers are in major trouble. The season comes down to a snap, and Goff is looking to throw, and he throws it. It's caught for the first down by DJ Chark.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. That audio was courtesy of NBC Sports and NBC Universal, and that's how the season ended last year for the Detroit Lions, ending the playoff hopes of the Green Bay Packers, and that was Aaron Rodgers' swan song at Lambeau Field. And certainly Detroit had a lot of momentum going towards the end of last season, and they've got a lot of momentum coming into this season. And to talk more about the Lions game, the season opener against the Kansas City Chiefs, also to talk about quarterback Jared Goff, of course, head coach Dan Campbell, and other things going on with the Lions, we want to welcome her back to the program. She is amazing whenever we have her on. She is a diehard Detroit Lions fan, and she is a contributor for Our Turf, which is a website that's dedicated to the NFL from a woman's perspective. Let's welcome her back to the program, Sonya Greenfield. Sonya, welcome back to the program.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, man, all is good. As always, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Sonya, towards the end of last year, the Detroit Lions, they made noise. They didn't make the playoffs, but they dashed the dreams of the Green Bay Packers, and, of course, that was the swan song for Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. And, of course, Aaron made his trek from Wisconsin to the East Coast to now become the quarterback of the New York Jets. Give me your thoughts on Detroit and their resurgence towards the end of last season.
Man, were people just, like, excited and really excited about this team and just really looking forward to what could be. And just that energy around the team those last few games was just amazing and incredible. And the fans are just really looking forward to a great season. Now, while, like you said, it didn't end with the playoffs, but we were really close, and I think that it was there, and it was like everybody was just kind of, wow, the Lions can really do this. I think if they, you know, they turned it on the last half of last year, and I think that energy and that enthusiasm is back, and I think that it's going to be great.
Indeed, it is going to be great. And Detroit, I've talked about this openly, and I've said, and a lot of some experts have said that Detroit is expected to be one of the X factors in this 2023 NFL regular season. Detroit is certainly the team has the potential to take that next step and make that next move. And speaking of making that next move, Detroit has made the move, and they're going to be in the season opener against the Kansas City Chiefs. So we know that Kansas City, they're going to be at Arrowhead, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. So we know it's going to be a raucous crowd. But what do you expect for the Lions coming into Arrowhead going up against the defending champion Chiefs?
I think that this is a big stage for them to be able to show the NFL that they mean business and that they are for real. It's going to be a tough environment, but I think that they are going to really enjoy that kind of environment because, you know, look at what they did last year at the end of the season, going to Lambeau and winning in a place that they don't typically win. And so, you know, does that mean that they are shoo-in to win against the Chiefs? Not at all. But you can't intimidate them, I don't think. And I think that they're going to come in with the swagger like, yeah, we belong here just as much as any other team, any other possible potential playoff contender. So I think that they are, while it's going to be a tough environment, I think that they are proving to become more battle-tested and seeing that, yeah, we can do this. And the road used to be a very scary place for the Lions, and it's not so much anymore.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I just want to stay with Detroit and Kansas City for a moment. And a lot of football fans, including myself, I looked at this, and when the regular season schedule for 2023 was revealed, and they said that the season opener was going to be Lions and Chiefs at Arrowhead, I thought to myself, I said, this is not bad, but I thought it was either going to be maybe Chiefs and the Eagles, a rematch of last year's Super Bowl, or maybe Chiefs 49ers. Do you think the NFL got it right with having the Lions and Chiefs as the season opener?
Oh, of course. I think so. I mean, first of all, you know, they're going to showcase the Chiefs because they won. However, I think adding the Lions to that mix, I think, is going to be great because I think that around the NFL, people are starting to take notice. At least, you know, various teams and coaching staffs are really starting to take notice and giving them some respect. And I think that this move does show that they've got a lot of respect at least starting to be generated. The fans still may think it's a little but I think if opposing fans, I think, may not give the Lions as much of a respect, but I think it's due. And I think that this move was very good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think in a way it kind of helps boost them up as to say, we're almost there, guys. We've made it.
All right, rightfully so. And this gives, as you said, this gives Detroit the opportunity on a big stage, a worldwide audience, to show what they're made of. And certainly they're going to be battle tested at Arrowhead, which is definitely one of the loudest stadiums, one of the toughest stadiums in the National Football League. I want to talk about the Lions offense just for a moment. So no more Jamal Williams. He signed a contract with the New Orleans Saints. But the Lions struck gold in the draft, getting a rookie running back out of Alabama by the name of Jahmyr Gibbs. Just give me your thoughts on Jahmyr, and what do you think he's going to do in his rookie campaign with Detroit?
I think he is going to be a very key piece of this offense. I think he had a decent preseason, enough, you know, obviously he's going to be a rookie and he's going to make some, you know, rookie errors, and that's okay. But I think that he will be a key piece in this offense. Our offensive line, or the Lions' offensive line, has really, you know, grown leaps and bounds and is becoming one of the more becoming one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And so if he's got that to run behind, I think that he could be making some noise, and we might be getting a more consistent 100-yard rusher out of him very, very soon.
Yeah, the expectations are definitely bright for Jameer in the Motor City. And I want to just stay with the wide receivers for a moment. A new addition to the team, you have Marvin Jones Jr., and, of course, you have the usual players that have been with Detroit for a while now, Khalif Raymond, Josh Reynolds, and, of course, our guy that we talk about, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Give me your thoughts on those gentlemen and what you think they're going to do in terms of contributing to the receiving core for Detroit this year.
Obviously, Amon-Ra is going to be the pinnacle, if you will, of this offense, of the wide receivers, I think. And, you know, I think that's really going to be Jared's go-to guy. The rest of the crew, I think, will be very, very much improved. I think the offense has really turned up, and I think that those guys, I think our receiver core is going to be, our receiving core is going to be pretty well showcased, and I think we got a lot of playmakers there. And, you know, you are kind of disappointed in Jamal Williams's preseason campaign and, you know, his off-the-field issues. And so I think you've got a good group of guys to kind of cover that and kind of make that a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to some good wide receiver play out of these guys this year.
Absolutely. The future is definitely bright, and we saw flashes of it last year, and certainly those guys are going to be very dependable, especially Amon-Ra St. Brown. I want to talk now just about the offensive line for a moment, specifically Frank Ragnow. I mean, he's really been the anchor of the offensive line for quite some time. What do you think Big Frank is going to do for the Lions this year?
Oh, man, I like that guy a lot. He's just nothing but a hard worker and really is the anchor of that offense. And he has helped. I think his arrival really helped turn this line around and started ushering in a new era of the Detroit Lions front or offensive line. So I think that he has been a real consistent guy to be in the to be the thing. He and Jared have a very good relationship, and so I think that he is able to really help protect the quarterback, really, you know, get the line together, and just really be able to see plays, call plays. So I like what he has brought to this team, and he's one of my favorite offensive linemen, not gonna lie.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, if everything works out well for Frank, he could have the potential to maybe have Joe Thomas status in Detroit when it's all said and done. I mean, depending on what happens, the Lions, you know, continue to make that exactly, if the Lions continue to make that long-term commitment to him. And I want to move over to on the defensive side for a moment. The Lions drafted a rookie out of Iowa named Jack Campbell. Just give me your thoughts on Jack and what do you expect from him this season.
Oh, I think that that's going to be really fun to watch. I think he is going to be a real, I won't say like a motor, but I will say that he is going to be able to kind of give some offenses a handful. And I think that going up against that Kansas City line, I think is going to be a big test for him. But I am feeling that it's going to be a very good season for him. He's going to have some growing pains, as they all do. But I'm feeling that that's going to be an improved area of our defense. And that's really kind of what needs to happen. And again, hopefully he's ushering in a new attitude and a new presence on that defensive line. So I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed, and somebody that I've looked forward to watching since he's been a member of the Detroit Lions is Alex Anzalone. Just give me your thoughts on Alex and what do you expect from him in 2023?
Alex, actually, I have been impressed with him. I think he's kind of been one of those, like, kind of guys, but I think that I'm looking forward to him becoming more consistent and him actually becoming more of a reliable piece of our defense, because I think when he's on and he's great, but there are times when he does kind of falter. But I'm thinking that hopefully this year he gets it together and is able to bring it together and be a more productive and consistent part of the defense.
All right, and let's move along now to the defensive lineman and Aiden Hutchinson. You know, there's a lot of once-in-a-lifetime players that have the potential to be once-in-a-lifetime, and Aiden Hutchinson definitely has the potential. We followed him during his time at the University of Michigan, and now he had a solid rookie campaign last year. Give me your thoughts on Aiden, and what do you expect from him in 2023?
Ooh, he has been really fun to watch and just really fun just to, you know, he's been a really good energy, I think, on that line and on the team. I'm expecting a lot out of him again this year. He had a fantastic rookie campaign, and I know sometimes they do take a step back their sophomore years, but I have a strange feeling that he's going to be able to continue where he left off, to be able to pick up where he left off and just really show why he hopefully is a future Hall of Famer. But I think that he has been a very good addition to this team. He wants to be there. He's having fun, and I love it. And I'm thinking that there's going to be some good stuff coming out of him this year.
All right, rightfully so. And speaking of good stuff on the defensive backside, two defensive backs that were good stuff for their team, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, was a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, was a part of the Super Bowl team last year. The Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl. They came very close, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a part of the Eagles squad. And, of course, Emmanuel Mosley played for the San Francisco 49ers. So you know what those two gentlemen bring to the table on the second in the secondary. Give me your thoughts on C.J. and Emmanuel, and what do you expect from them being the new additions to the Lions secondary?
Oh, I think that those guys are going to be huge pieces of the secondary. And I think that, while Mosley's been a little bit injured and, you know, they did just get him off the PUP list, but I still feel that their secondary is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson, just they've got a bunch of guys back there who are going to be a very good force and being able to kind of strengthen where we've been a little weak recently, you know, in the past couple of years. Secondary has not been in the best, but I think that getting Gardner-Johnson, getting Emmanuel Mosley, and having, you know, Trace Walker, Kirby Joseph, I think all those guys there are going to be able to really give us that secondary, that really strong secondary that we've been looking for, that the Lions have been looking for.
You're absolutely right about that, Sonia. Again, the defensive backs, or the secondary for that matter, hasn't really been a strong suit for the Lions in quite some time. But hopefully with the additions of C.J. and Emmanuel, definitely soften the blow and ease the tension off the defensive linemen and the linebackers. And, you know, Sonia, they say that a prized position in professional football is the backup quarterback. And the Lions, they got a backup quarterback with Teddy Bridgewater, solid experience and very stable. Give me your thoughts on Teddy being a member of the Lions.
I'm glad to have him here. I think that, like you said, he has been very consistent. He is stable. He can go out there and, you know, hold it down if we need him to. And I know he didn't have a very good outing his first preseason game, but the second game he came in and just made it do what it do. And that's all we want, is just somebody to be able to kind of tread water, if you will, if something happens to Jared Goff. And I think you couldn't have gotten a better person. So I think that he's going to be very good for the second, or for the secondary, sorry. I think he's going to be a very good as a backup quarterback. I mean, he's reliable. He's very trustworthy and serviceable. So I think that that was a very good move by the Lions this offseason to get him.
And again, you get a great backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. He's been a starter. He's been through the ropes. He's been through the fire, and he knows exactly what it takes to be a quality player in the NFL. And speaking of being quality, the last couple of years, Dan Campbell, for all intents and purposes, he has said some very interesting things, but he got his team going during the second half of last season, and certainly it paid off when they eliminated the Green Bay Packers from playoff contention. So the question is now, Sonya, in year three, what do you see Dan Campbell going with this team?
I think this year, year three, that Dan should get the team to the playoffs. I think that this is a very much so a playoff contending team, and I think that definitely he should be aiming for the playoffs. Hopefully they will get their first playoff win since 1991, the longest drought in the NFL. But I think that anything short of the playoffs is going to be a disappointment for this team. But I feel that Dan has the team ready. I think that Dan has the team fired up. And I think that they have gotten the right players together to make that playoff push and definitely, you know, get to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, the expectations are really high for the Lions this year, and specifically for head coach Dan Campbell as he enters year three of the being the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And certainly while the pressure is high for him, the pressure is also high for the quarterback, the starting quarterback, number 16, and that's Jared Goff. And certainly, you know, Sonya, we talked about the development of Jared in such a short amount of time since he's been in Detroit, came over in a trade from the Los Angeles Rams. And I have to ask you, has the transition been smooth for Jared and his family going from Southern California to the Motor City?
I think so. I think he's really kind of embraced the city. I think that, you know, he has done some work around the city with his charities. I think he and his fiance have really kind of embraced Detroit and really kind of gotten involved with the team and with the city. And so as Detroiters go, they can't embrace, like, they can't embrace anybody more, especially if you are in the city and like what it's about. They can't embrace any more than that, and I think he's done that, and so I think that that has helped really well. So I think they like the community. I think they like maybe not the cold as much, but I think they have adjusted to the Midwest living, to Detroit living.
All right, I want to stay just with Jared for a moment. So we saw the development continue with him towards the end of last season and going into Lambeau Field and pulling off the upset, beating the Green Bay Packers. I've got to ask you, what do you expect Jared to do in 2023? Do you think he's going to continue to ride off of that momentum from the end of last season, or do you think he's going to operate in that spotty play during the 2023 season?
I'm going to hope that he does not have spotty play, and if he does have spotty play, that it's not that consistent. I will say this, you know, until he kind of turned it up last year, it was a little iffy for him, not even going to lie. And this season, you know, they are going to, I think upper management is going to have to make a decision about him and if he's going to be the guy or if he's going to be more of a bridge till we get to, you know, see if what about the first round quarterbacks next year or, you know, quarterbacks next year coming out of college. So I think this is kind of a bigger year for him. And you'd like to see, you know, Super Bowl Jared come back, you know, the team, the guy that took the Rams to the Super Bowl. And even the last part of the season, Jared come back too. And I think that he will be there. But he does have consistency issues every now and then. And so I think that he just has to make sure that he is getting it together. And I think he does have that ability and the talent. So I think that it can be done. I am, you know, optimistic that he can do it, and he knows what this team needs to do. He's gotten, you know, a full season, a couple seasons in there with the guys, with Campbell and with everybody, and I think that they've got something good going, and I think he and Campbell have a trust and understanding now, and I think that that is going to really help him be the quarterback that he knows that he can be.
It's so important in the NFL nowadays where you, that quarterback and head coach relationship has to be key. And it's good, as you said, that Jared Goff and Dan Campbell are continuing to build on that relationship. It's going to be key. We've seen it with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. We're seeing it continue to develop with Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, and also developing with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And hopefully it can continue to develop and go to that next level with Jared and Dan. All right, so now the 2023 season is upon us, and I got to ask you, what's your outlook for the Lions? Like, do you see them possibly being a playoff team, winning the division, maybe being a wild card team? What's your 2023 season outlook like for the Lions?
I'm seeing them winning the division. I don't really feel that there is that much competition right now. Now, I've heard some things about Jordan Love. I kind of have seen some stuff, but I still think that the Lions are the best team in that division right now. And I am one that, you know, I'm very honest, but I think right now, I think the Lions are the team to be in that division. I see them definitely making the playoffs, and I would love to see them get that playoff win. And I feel that, you know, if things go right, if everything goes well, if they play good ball, if they play smart ball, I see them winning a playoff game. And I think that will be almost as – it won't be as good as a Super Bowl win, but it will definitely – solidify Dan Campbell's legacy, Jared Goff's legacy, just this 2023 team. I think it will definitely signify a true changing of the guard. And, you know, it's not the same old Lions anymore, I think, if they are able to get that playoff win.
Definitely it's in their favor for this season. And on paper, they have what it takes. As you mentioned earlier about the Green Bay Packers, the Aaron Rodgers era is over with. In comes Jordan Love. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota still remains to be seen with him. Justin Fields has improved his play with the Chicago Bears, but Detroit has everything going for them, and they do have the opportunity. They have the opportunity to win the NFC North. All right, I have to ask you, so you've already claimed it that you think Detroit is going to win the NFC North division. What's your record for the Lions in 2023?
Record for the Lions, I'm going to say is going to be, let's see, 17 games. I'm going to say 12-5.
That sounds about right, 12-5. That sounds doable for the Lions. I mean, hey, they've got the talent, and, hey, pending injuries, they can definitely make it happen, and they definitely have a strong chance of winning the NFC North. All right, so now we have a game coming up, the season opener. The Lions heading to Arrowhead, taking on the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. I got to ask you your prediction. Give me your final score in the Lions and Chiefs season opener.
Okay, Lions-Chiefs season opener. I feel that it's going to be a little bit more of a shootout. I think that the offenses are going to be on display. But I think I don't think it's going to be a blowout like some people have suggested. I think it's going to be closer than we think, and I'm going to say, like, 42-35 Chiefs.
Wow, that's a high score right there. Normally, a lot of people have been saying the game is going to be maybe 27-24, 28-25, but I didn't expect 42-35, and it has the potential to be a shootout. We know Kansas City's defense is decent. It's serviceable, but we know when you have Mr. Mahomes and Mr. Kelce and the rest of the crew, you know, it's going to be a lot of points. It's definitely going to be a dogfight in the season opener at Arrowhead Stadium between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. And you heard it from her. She's Sonia Greenfield. She is the director of writer management and also an editor covering the NFC North and the NFC East for Our Turf Football. Thanks again, Sonia, for being on the program. Just tell everybody what you're doing and what's going on over at Our Turf.
Sure. So Our Turf, we have our weekly podcast. We are back Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time on our YouTube channel. Just search Our Turf Football on YouTube. Subscribe to us. You can watch us live and interact with us. We love that. We love hearing from our fans. So, yep, you can check us out there. You can check us out on our Twitter, OurTurfSB on Twitter, and we interact there. We love it. And then also you can go to our website, OurTurfSB.com. You can see our articles. You can see our old podcasts. We are everywhere covering all the teams of the NFL, and we just love to talk football and have fun.
All right, that's awesome. And one more time, Sonia, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Our Turf Football and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Sure. So you can find me, myself. I am at mom, the number two, the number three, RN, on Twitter. And then you can find me also tweeting for Our Turf. Sometimes I do tweet under Our Turf. And so our Twitter handle is Our Turf SB on Twitter. And then you can go to our YouTube channel, which we have our podcast every Tuesday night. And that's Our Turf Football. Just search that. And then you can go ahead and subscribe and never miss an episode. And then you could also interact with us live. And then, yeah, you can go over to our website. It is ourturffb.com. Okay. So, yep, you can get us there.
All right. And you heard it from Ashia Sonia Greenfield. She's the director of writer management, editor, and covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. It's a website that covers the NFL from a woman's perspective. And check out Sonia and the ladies over at Our Turf Football. This was a lot of fun, as always, Sonia. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for having me on. You know, I love talking with you. So, yeah. Invite me back on anytime. I am excited and love to talk to you.
Same here. We'll be back with more right after this.
From 37 yards, knocks it through. Here's the live field goal. Badgley knocks it through. From the 43 on first down, it's Williams bouncing to the outside. There goes the former Packer into Green Bay territory at the 44-yard line. And a first down. Goff out of the pocket, taking a shot downfield. And free is Raymond. Raymond caught it. Down inside the one. Colin Raymond with a huge play, and the Lions are on the doorstep of taking the lead. First and goal, Williams. To the right, to the end zone, to the lead. Detroit Lions touchdown. Williams into the end zone. The Lions retake the lead. Here's a blitz. Can Rodgers beat it? Big ball downfield, and it is intercepted by Kirby Joseph. Joseph out of bounds around the 45. He's got Rodgers for the third time, and the Packers are in major trouble. The season comes down to a snap, and Goff is looking to throw, and he throws it. It's caught for the first down by DJ Chark, and you can hear them from all the way in Seattle. The Lions have come into Lambeau, and they've knocked the Packers down and out.
There's said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease, from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus, from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergen.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus, and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
All right, everybody. Once again, a big special thank you to Sonia Greenfield, Director of Writer Management and Editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football, giving us the 411 on what to expect in the season opener from the Detroit Lions as well as their 2023 season. When we come back from the break, we'll have an interview with Owen Whittleson, co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. He's also a contributor for 99 Yards. The Arrowheads Abroad podcast covers the Kansas City Chiefs from a United Kingdom perspective. We preview the Chiefs season opener against the Detroit Lions. Also, we talk Patrick Mahomes, also the 2023 season outlook for the Kansas City Chiefs, and much more. Owen is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
What summer without a trip to the beach? Elevate the journey with style from behind the wheel of your ultimate BMW at the Summer On Sales event. Experience an inspired performance in class-defining style in the 4 Series Grand Coupe, or make the most of the versatile BMW X5. With everything you need to make the trip to the beach one to remember. Just be sure to arrive before all the beach chairs are gone. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Get a credit of up to $2,000 on select models now through September 4th.
I mean, it was just everybody. It didn't come from one person. Everybody said we had to step our game up. Our defense played their ass off in that second half. And our offense, we found a way. Man, I just want to thank everybody, man. Everybody on this team. Hey, this is man right here.
Man, one of y'all said the Chiefs were going to take it home this year. Not a single one. Feel it. And on top of that, next time the Chiefs say something, put some respect on our name.
It was just all hard. We knew we didn't play our best. We knew we didn't play for each other as much as we wanted to. That first half was just, you know, it was a big moment. It was a big game. A lot of guys playing a little uncharacteristic, and we were just able to, you know, regroup at halftime and figure it out in that second half, man. We were flying around. MV Pat, you can't say enough about what this guy means to Kansas City and this team.
I mean, it's just, I told y'all before the season, we got Coach Andy Reid. We got guys like Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Frank Clark. We're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. At the end of the day, we're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're gonna celebrate this right here, baby. We're going to celebrate this the right way.
Indeed, they did celebrate the right way. Welcome back to the program, everybody. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League, and you heard Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and also tight end Travis Kelce at the end of the Super Bowl. That was in February, as the Kansas City Chiefs would win their second Super Bowl in 4 seasons. And certainly the Chiefs had a miraculous 2022 season that culminated in the Chiefs beating the Philadelphia Eagles and Patrick Mahomes becoming the Super Bowl MVP. To talk more about that Chiefs stunning run and also with the Chiefs season opener against the Detroit Lions and also the 2023 season outlook for the Kansas City Chiefs, let's welcome him back to the program. He has just been amazing since he's been with us on the program. He's a diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan. He is the co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast, which is the podcast that gives you a unique insight of the NFL from a perspective from the UK, the United Kingdom, and he's also a contributor for a website called 99 Yards. Let's welcome him back to the program, Owen Whittleson. Hey, Owen, welcome back to the program, my man.
Hello, yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be back on.
You're welcome, Owen. Again, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Owen, before we get into the 2023 NFL season, 2022 was an amazing and magical run for the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me your takeaways from the 2022 season, aside from them earning the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great season for the Chiefs. Exceeded expectations from before the season started with losing Tyreek Hill. Everyone thought that Kansas City would take a step backwards, and seeing them go out there and prove everyone wrong and go back to another Super Bowl, let alone win it, is really impressive. And just showed how strong the team is depth-wise. And I mean, losing one of the best wide receivers in the league is bound to make a team worse. But the fact that the Chiefs were able to come back and put such a great season and to end with that win was fantastic. Great as a fan, obviously. Being a Chiefs fan, it's always great to see.
I want to stay just with that magical season and specifically with the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. You're on the other side of the pond, on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So I wanted to ask you, what was the response like in the United Kingdom from Chiefs fans? Was it the same excitement as it was back in the States?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were in Dublin for the Super Bowl over in Ireland. So, yeah, we had a big group of Chiefs fans all together, and we had a great time. It was a bit later in the day, obviously, being from the UK. I mean, you're talking like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning when it's finishing. But, I mean, I wasn't tired at all. The excitement carried me through, and that adrenaline from that Super Bowl win carried me through to the end. So, it was a great game and a great night out with a whole group of Chiefs fans. And yeah, I can tell you now, we were just as excited as you guys over the pond.
Owen, you said the key word, adrenaline. And certainly when you have adrenaline and also, let's just say, some interesting beverages, that'll definitely keep you up at around 2, 3 in the morning, your time. And certainly, hey, you guys were pumped up and you stayed up to watch your beloved Kansas City Chiefs beat the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. All right, so that takes care of the 2022 season. Now we're here with a brand new NFL season, 2023, and it's definitely going to be in full swing with the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Detroit Lions in the season opener. Of course, we're going to talk about Mr. Mahomes and Mr. Kelce in just one moment, but I want to start off with the running backs for a moment. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he was in and out of the lineup last year due to injuries. I wanted to ask you, what do you expect from Clyde coming into this 2023 season?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for the running backs in general, let alone just Clyde. I mean, he obviously was highly anticipated to be a really solid running back for us, being a first-round pick a few years ago, and hasn't really lived up to it so far in his NFL career. I mean, there's always still hope that he can put in a good season and be healthy for a year and really contribute to this offense. But, I think he's got a lot to prove this year because there's plenty of other running backs from last season that filled in for him when he was injured and might have even outperformed him. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do this year. Hopefully he can pick it up and turn into the prospect that we thought he would be coming into the NFL. It'll be tricky because, like I said, there are a few running backs on that Chiefs on the roster that can be solid and can certainly be starters for us.
Indeed, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire shined bright just a few seasons ago as a member of the LSU Tigers, winning the national championship with Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and, of course, Joe Burrow. So hopefully, as you said, we can see that talent if Clyde is healthy for the most part during this season. I want to stay just with the running backs for a moment. Isaiah Pacheco, he came out of nowhere during his rookie year in 2022. You talked about the loss of Tyreek Hill and how bad it was for Kansas City offense, but they made up for it in a big way with having Isaiah Pacheco. He got it done running, and he also got it doing his work catching the ball from the backfield, and he's got speed. He's just as fast as Tyreek Hill. Just give me your thoughts on Isaiah and what do you expect from him in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, what a great rookie season. I mean, you said it yourself, he did kind of come out of nowhere, being what, a sixth or seventh round pick out of Rutgers last season. It was great to see him step up and to really take a hold of that offense when he needed to, and he had a great season. I hope it continues in 2023, obviously. It seemed like the Chiefs offense was a lot more methodical last year with losing Tyreek Hill. You're not going to have as many of those splash plays. So having someone like Isaiah Pacheco who can step up and really take that workload, especially with Clyde Edwards-Helaire going down, it really helped us to bring some balance to our offense and really helped us get going and string consistent drives together and consistent plays down the field. So, yeah, it's going to be great to see him in 2023, and it's going to be great to see those two and Jared McKinnon battle it out for that running back spot. It's going to be tight competition, but it'll be great watching them all play next year.
Absolutely. I want to move along now to the wide receivers. So Kadarius Toney was really the X factor in the trade deadline last year when the Chiefs acquired him from the New York Giants. And you talk about one of the fastest receivers in the league. So you've got Kadarius Toney. Also, you have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who came over from the Green Bay Packers last year. And then when you add Sky Moore to the mix as well, and also you have Justin Ross, and then there's Justin Watson, and then when you add Richie James, who was a dynamo player playing for the San Francisco 49ers, give me your thoughts on the receiving core coming into this season.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things about the skill position team on the Chiefs offense is there's so much depth. Obviously, we've mentioned the running backs, but in the wide receiver room, you listed off about five or six guys there who can all step up, and that's not even mentioning Rashee Rice, our second round, I think, draft pick from this year, so being a rookie coming to that offense. It is such a deep wide receiver group, and there's so much talent all across the board as well. There's no standout stars like your Tyreek Hills or anyone like that's going to carry the full, a bigger workload outside of Travis Kelce. So I think there's going to be a nice spread, and you're going to see loads of different types of receivers. You've got those like tall, big body guys like Justin Ross and your MVSs. And then you've got your speedsters like Sky Moore who can get it done and can win in different ways to some of the other receivers on the roster. So there's a lot of different talent on the field for the Chiefs at the wide receiver position. So it's going to be fun watching those guys. And there's plenty of depth, though. So I expect the ball to be spread out quite a lot in this offense and Mahomes to have loads of different targets to go to, all with different specialties. So, yeah, it'll be really fun watching this wide receiver room work this year.
All right, and then let's move along now to the offensive line for a moment. And, again, some stud offensive linemen for Kansas City with the likes of Creed Humphrey and, of course, Nick Allegretti, and then also Donovan Smith is a part of the crew as well. Just give me your thoughts on the offensive lineman as well as Joe Tooney, who's been with the team for a while now and certainly somebody that's he has his Super Bowl experience as well. Just give me your thoughts on the offensive line for this upcoming season.
Yeah, we've got quite a strong offensive line, obviously losing Orlando Brown in the offseason. He went on to the Bengals. It's still strong. It seems to we have guys across the line that can play. I mean, Tooney with the experience, like you said, Creed stepping into what I think is his third year now with the Chiefs, and he's been fantastic at center for us. So yeah, we've still got a strong offensive line. I still think they'll be able to do the work and create running lanes and give Patrick Mahomes some time. So yeah, I've still got some faith in our offensive line despite losing Orlando Brown to the Bengals, and I think we picked up tackle from the Buccaneers, whose name escapes me. But yeah, we've got a nice offensive line still this year. I don't think they should take too many steps backwards. I think it will be a strong year for them as well.
Maybe I can help you out with the tackle who played for the Buccaneers. Donovan Smith is his name. So I hope that helps you out right there. And
yes,
I want to get absolutely. And I want to move now to the defensive side. When we think of Kansas City, the first thing that comes to our minds is offense, of course, with Mahomes, Kelce, and company. However, on the defensive side, of course, Chris Jones, as this interview was airing, has not reported to camp because of a contract dispute. So, however, there's George Karlaftis, who had a decent rookie year. Also, Derek Nandi was solid. He was productive in 2022. And also, Lajarius Sneed made plays when it was necessary. And also, Nick Bolton came up huge in the Super Bowl. Just give me your thoughts on the Chiefs' defense heading into 2023.
Yeah, it's been interesting with Chris Jones, obviously not reporting to training camp and not playing in the preseason. Obviously, he's already well-established in the league, and he's one of those top interior defensive linemen that the NFL has. So there's no worries in terms of his performance. It's just whether he's going to see the field and whether it would be with the Chiefs, and obviously what time that will be. I'm hoping he comes back. Obviously, he, like I said, he's one of those better interior defensive linemen that the league's got. So, yeah, hopefully he can come back and get all his contracts sorted out with the Chiefs, because I think he's entering his last year of his contract this year. So, yeah, it'll be good to see him back on the team, because he does bring so much energy and so much pressure into that middle of that defensive line. And you can kind of play him anywhere. You can play him on the edge as well, and he is really versatile in that sense. So, yeah, it'd be great to see him back. It's a bit of a weird one at the moment with that whole situation, but just got to wait and let things play out and see how he can, you know, work his way back into the team and back into that starting lineup, because I think he will be he'll be sorely missed on this Chiefs defense. But like you said, there are some other guys that can step up. George Karlaftis, like you said, is showing potential into the late part of last season. And we also drafted the defensive end as well. So there is some wiggle room there with the defensive line. We did lose Frank Clark though in the offseason, so that'll definitely cause a hole. So yeah, hopefully Chris Jones can come back and can be the veteran piece of this defensive line and really bolster it, because like there's not many pieces in the league you'd rather have than Chris Jones. So yeah, hopefully that'll get sorted out, but we might see the defensive line take a step back if Chris Jones doesn't come back until later in the season. It might be a bit of a slow start for the Chiefs defensive line just as he works out.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Jones is one of the best in the league. And as you said, Owen, he's definitely established himself as one of the premier defensive ends. And hopefully they can get that situation worked out as quickly as possible. And the kicker position, if you're on point as a kicker, you are definitely held to a high regard. And Harrison Butker has been one of the best in the league for quite some time. Give me your thoughts on Harrison and what do you think he's going to do in 2023?
Yeah, Harrison Butker was solid for us. I mean, he's kicked a few good game winners in his time, and he's he's been a consistent kicker. The occasional slip up here and there, but I mean, what kicker in the league doesn't have misses occasionally? Like, it's going to happen. It's difficult for a kicker to go 100%. So yeah, I think he's solid. I think he is up there in the kicker rankings, should we say, in the NFL. I think he's solid for us. I hope he continues that into 2023, and we can rely on him some more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Harrison has been clutch for quite a while now, and certainly he hopes to continue that coming into this season. We talk about clutch players, and you mentioned his name earlier, tight end Travis Kelce. I mean, what can you say about Travis, right? Definitely in his prime, definitely somebody that is just a key element to not just any offense, but most importantly, Kansas City's offense. I know you got a lot to say about number 87, but just give me your thoughts on Travis and what do you expect from him in 2023?
Oh, yeah, who doesn't love Travis Kelce, man? He's one of the most consistent performers on this Chiefs team and in the league as well. He's been doing it for us for ages now. What a player. Hopefully he continues, because he is starting to get into the latter years of his career now. But yeah, hopefully he keeps it going and he keeps churning out numbers for us in yards and even better touchdowns. Yeah, he's a fantastic player and a great personality as well for the team. He's a real veteran image on that roster, and I think a lot of the younger guys do look up to him and do respect the work and the success he's already had in this league. So, yeah, long may it continue, because him and Patrick Mahomes are two of the greatest duos in NFL history, you can say. It's getting to that point now where they've just been doing it so consistently for the past 5 or 6 years that... yeah, it's great to watch, being a Chiefs fan week in, week out. These two guys get to work, and especially Travis Kelce doing his thing. Yeah, it's great.
Indeed, it is great. And speaking of somebody that it has been great for such a long time, Andy Reid. I mean, the best gets better, and Andy just continues to be one of the masters of the craft of head coaching. And 2023, again, has an opportunity to defend the Super Bowl title, has an opportunity with a chance to repeat. Give me your thoughts on Coach Reid and what do you expect from him coming into 2023, despite losing offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, who's now in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid, another guy, like you said, who's been doing it for such a long time, obviously with the Eagles first, reaching a Super Bowl, and unfortunately losing it before coming to the Chiefs, and then the success he's had with the Kansas City Chiefs is incredible. Even before Patrick Mahomes, he was doing it with Alex Smith, and he's one of the top coaches in the league, like you said. He's so good. And you see his game plan, like in the Super Bowl back in February, with wide open receivers walking into the end zone without a defender being within 10 yards of them, is just incredible game planning. And he plays it like he plays the game of football like chess. He's such a talented head coach. And he's one of the main reasons why this Chiefs team has had so much success in recent years. Such a great head coach. And I hope he stays with the team for a lot longer, because we'll have some more success if he does. So. Yeah, I've got all the respect for Andy Reid and the work he does, because, yeah, he's incredible.
Indeed, he is incredible. And speaking of somebody that's incredible, you know, there's always once-in-a-lifetime talent in any industry, whether it be in sports or just education or any field in life. And Patrick Mahomes is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. You talk about just the leadership and the throwing ability, the athletic ability, just like a Harry Houdini or like a David Blaine or maybe a Chris Angel out on the field, right, just performing magic. And Patrick Mahomes, hey, league MVP, Super Bowl MVP, recent Super Bowl MVP of the one that just passed, and certainly a guy who it's very scary. He hasn't even really entered his prime as of yet. And I know you can give a lot about Patrick, but just give me your thoughts on Patrick and what do you expect out of him in 2023?
Yeah, it's something I have to remind myself how fortunate I am to be a Chiefs fan in the Patrick Mahomes era. It's just incredible to watch him go to work and be able to root for him week in, week out. I'm extremely fortunate as a Chiefs fan to be able to have that guy on my sideline and playing for my team. It's great. I mean, he's proved it year in, year out that he's that guy, and he's one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in the league. So yeah, it's great to watch him last season win an MVP and a Super Bowl in the same year. I think he's the first person since I think Kurt Warner back in '99 to do that. So yeah, it's great to see the accolades that he keeps picking up for himself, and that trophy cabinet's getting bigger and bigger every year. So yeah, hopefully it continues, and he continues to work with as a team changes around him, and as he starts to get these new guys in, and yeah, hopefully this Andy Reid Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, like trio that they've got figured out continues for a long time because they play some great football together. And you've always got a chance when Patrick Mahomes is on the field.
You're right about that, Owen. And one thing's for sure, whenever Mahomes is under center, you have a great chance of winning just with his talent and his awareness and all the intangibles that he has. He certainly paid off big dividends being a member, being the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so we have our season opener between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs, which the game is going to be at Arrowhead Stadium, one of the loudest, if not the loudest stadium in the National Football League. Just give me your thoughts on what do you expect out of this game, not just for the Chiefs, but for the Lions as well.
It's going to be a great game. I think the Detroit Lions are one of the most underrated teams in the NFL, especially going into 2023. They've got some really nice pieces. I think Jared Goff is going to take another step and continue to improve in Detroit. So I expect it to be a really good game between the Chiefs and the Lions. Yeah, I really like Dan Campbell, their head coach. I think they've got some pieces to work with. Maybe they don't have the ceiling that the Chiefs might have, but I wouldn't be surprised if they gave the Chiefs a run for their money in this game because they want to upset the Chiefs on their banner night. So yeah, why not? I think the Detroit Lions will really put up a fight against us, and it'll be a great game in Arrowhead. Kicking off the 2023 schedule, feels like it's been a long time since I last watched the Chiefs and watched the NFL. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a great game.
It feels like that, Owen. I know the last NFL game that was played was in February, but it just feels like an eternity when you haven't had NFL on in quite some time, but definitely it's good to see NFL football back. Now, I'm going to ask you your prediction for this game in just a moment, but I want to get to the 2023 season outlook for the Chiefs. It's a no-brainer, right, in terms of how you feel about the Chiefs repeating, but I want to ask you, where do you expect the Chiefs to finish? Do you see them winning the AFC West again? And if so, what's the record that you predict? And do you see them possibly repeating as champs?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because obviously when you come off winning the Super Bowl, the sky really is the limit for any team that's just been Super Bowl champion. I think it's the same for the Chiefs this year as well. That they've been doing it at a consistent level for so long with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we've never not been to the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes under center. So yeah, I really do think the sky's the limit with this team again. It'll be interesting because the competition in the AFC has also gotten a lot better with Aaron Rodgers obviously coming over to the Jets. The AFC is stacked at quarterback, let alone the teams around the quarterbacks as well. It's a really tough conference now, so it's going to be a bloodbath, I think, in the AFC this year. I think there'll be some really great games. I think once you get to that January time when the playoffs start rolling around, it's going to be some electric football that these AFC teams are going to be putting on. So I think the competition stepped up, and I think the Chiefs have stayed about where they are. The Chiefs where they are Super Bowl champions. So I think we can give any team a run for their money this year, but it'll just be some great football. I'm looking forward to it. I'm heading out to Frankfurt in November to watch them take on the Dolphins, which is great, part of the international series that the NFL puts on. So yeah, I can't wait for that. To watch Patrick Mahomes live in the flesh, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great season.
Absolutely. So what record do you see the Chiefs finishing with in 2023?
That's a good question. I'll need to do a deeper dive. Off the top of my head, I mean, I think we're looking at... I mean, I don't know if I'm being too confident in saying 13-4... 12-5 around that region. I can see us winning the AFC West again. I think Sean Payton and Russell Wilson will be a lot better than Russell Wilson was last year. I think he's got a much stronger head coach now in Sean Payton, so I think they're going to be a lot better than the Broncos. The Raiders may have taken a step back by losing Derek Carr, so I'm not too sure about them. And the Chargers are always hyped up coming into the season, but who knows where they're going to be because they're always an unpredictable team. But, they've got a strong roster, so we'll see how that works out. I can picture them being good, but it's hard to not pick the Chiefs when we've won the AFC West, what is it now, 8 times in a row, however long it's been. So it's hard not to pick the Chiefs in the division. I'm going to go around 12-5, 13-4, and see how we get on from there.
Man, you're right about that. The AFC has been locked and loaded for quite some time, and especially as you mentioned about the Denver Broncos with the addition of head coach Sean Payton and, of course, Russell Wilson, who is a much fitter Russell Wilson, a much fit Russell Wilson, excuse me, and he's lost some weight, so he's determined. And, of course, Justin Herbert got a new contract in the offseason with the Chargers, and Joe Burrow, I mean, what more can we say about him? And, of course, Josh Allen with the Bills as well. And I know you mentioned about you're looking forward to going to Frankfurt to see the Chiefs take on the Dolphins in Germany, and that should be an amazing experience. All right, so I got to ask you now, your prediction for the season opener, the final score between the Lions and the Chiefs.
Yeah, like I said, I think it'll be a lot closer than people are anticipating it to be. Well, at least Chiefs fans are anticipating it to be. I think the Detroit Lions got a good team, like I said. So I'm going to say somewhere in the region of 30 to 24 to the Chiefs. I do think they pull off the win. I think they start 1-0. I think the firepower would just be a bit too much for that Detroit Lions defense. But I think they'll give us a run for our money. I think it'll be really tight. So, yeah, I'm going to say 30 to 24 to the Chiefs.
All right, solid. And you heard it from him. He is Owen Whittleson, co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast and also a contributor for 99 Yards. And, Owen, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Arrowheads Abroad and also 99 Yards.
Yeah, so the Arrowheads Abroad, we're still doing podcasts every week. They'll be coming into the full swing of things as we get into the season. So, yeah, really looking forward to hitting the season running with the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. We're also, like I said, we're going out to Frankfurt this year, which is going to be really good fun. I can't wait to be out there with all the Chiefs fans watching the Chiefs live, like I said. And 99 Yards are still rocking as always. So it's going to be a really good year for us. I'm really looking forward to all the stuff we've got planned.
Oh, man, that's going to be awesome right there. Just tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Arrowheads Abroad and 99 Yards. And if you, any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Widowson Owen. That's like my main social media. And then the Chiefs, the Arrowheads Abroad are at @KCChiefs_UK, I think. And then 99 Yards, I believe, is just at 99 Yards, all spelled out. So, yeah, that's where you can find us.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Owen Whittleson, co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast, which is the podcast that gives you a unique perspective of the NFL from the United Kingdom. And also he's a contributor for 99 Yards. Owen, as always, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me. It's always great coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mahomes looking that way, throwing that way. Kelce got it. Touchdown. Pacheco right up the got it in. Touchdown. Quick throw. Tony's got it. Tony walks in. Touchdown, Kansas City. Low sinking kick. Tony on the run. Still up on his feet. Tony has a wall. It's another block. Tony inside the 20. Tony still going, and he's down to the 5. Eligible player on back-to-back plays. Blitz coming. Mahomes, man wide open. Touchdown, Chiefs, and Sky Moore.
I mean, it was just everybody. It didn't come from one person. Everybody said we had to step our game up. Our defense played their ass off in that second half. And our offense, we found a way. Man, I just want to thank everybody, man. Everybody on this team. Hey, this is man right here.
Man, one of y'all said the Chiefs were going to take it home this year. Not a single one. Feel it. And on top of that, next time the Chiefs say something, put some respect on our name.
It was just all hard. We knew we didn't play our best. We knew we didn't play for each other as much as we wanted to. That first half was just, you know, it was a big moment. It was a big game. A lot of guys playing a little uncharacteristic, and we were just able to, you know, regroup at halftime and figure it out in that second half, man. We were flying around. MV Pat, you can't say enough about what this guy means to Kansas City and this team.
I mean, it's just, I told y'all before the season, we got Coach Andy Reid. We got guys like Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Frank Clark. We're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. At the end of the day, we're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going to celebrate this right here, baby. We're going to celebrate this the right way.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, once again, a big special thank you to Owen Whittleson, co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast and also a contributor for 99 Yards, giving us the 411 on the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, coming up after the break, we have Scott Mason on the program. He's the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing New York Jets content. We preview the New York Jets Monday night season opener against the Buffalo Bills. Also, we talk about Aaron Rodgers and much more. Scott is coming up after the break. I'm Matt Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
The Historic New Orleans Collection is a free museum, publisher, and research center in the heart of the French Quarter, on view through October 8th, 2023. Be sure to plan your visit to 520 Royal Street at hnoc.org. The Smithsonian Traveling Exhibition, American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith, examines the continuing evolution of our government, of, by, and for the people. Be sure to plan your visit to 520 Royal Street at hnoc.org.
I want to say thank you to Christopher and Woody for bringing me here. Obviously, Coach Sala, Joe Douglas, my agent, Dave Dunn. This is a surreal day for me after spending 18 years in the same city. It's been a lot of introductions today and meeting a lot of people, but there's a lot of excitement. I'm here because I believe in this team. I believe in Coach Sala. I believe in the direction of Joe Douglas. Obviously, he's drafted really well the last couple of years, having the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. But big thanks to the Jets organization. Obviously, a big thanks to the Green Bay Pack organization for an incredible run. That chapter is over now, and I'm excited about the new adventure here in New York.
Out with the old and in with the new. After so many great seasons with the Green Bay Packers, quarterback Aaron Rodgers makes the trek from Wisconsin to the Meadowlands, northern New Jersey, New York City, the Big Apple. And certainly Aaron Rodgers, that was at his press conference earlier in the year, being introduced as the new quarterback of the New York Jets. And, of course, we're going to talk about, well, no longer number 12, but he's number 8 now, Aaron Rodgers. We're also going to discuss head coach Robert Saleh and also preview the Jets game against the Buffalo Bills and so much more. Let's take the trip up I-95 and head to the New Jersey Meadowlands and talk to a gentleman that we've had on the program on more than a few occasions, always giving us the insights on Gang Green, a.k.a. the J-E-T-S, Jets, the New York Jets. He is the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. Let's welcome him back to the program, Scott Mason. Hey, Scott, welcome back to the program, my man.
Hey, Ed, great to be here, man.
Solid. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, of course, we're going to talk about more about A-Rod in just a moment, but let's preview this big Monday night matchup between the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. We know the excitement is surrounding Aaron Rodgers and, of course, the other characters that are going to be playing a big role with the New York Jets this year going up against the Buffalo Bills. How excited are you about this game, especially with it taking place on a Monday night at MetLife Stadium?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, it's hard not to be, right? The stadium's probably going to be the loudest it's been since the season opener, or the home opener, I should say, back in 2009. I still remember that was Rex Ryan's first year with the Jets, Mark Sanchez too. And the Jets began the season with victories before they got to that game against the Patriots. I remember Rex Ryan actually robocalling all the season ticket holders, me being one of them. And he said, we know that the Patriots have the better coach, and we know that the Patriots have the better quarterback, but what we have is you. You're the X factor. We need you to show up. We need you to be loud. We need you to really scream and make it an impact and carry us to victory. I remember that place was so loud, and I think it's going to be like that for Monday night. All the pieces are in place here, right? You've got all the expectations. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got the Buffalo Bills, the division rivals, the team that has controlled the division for the last few years. Obviously, the Patriots were the ones that had it up until Tom Brady left for Tampa, but since then it's been the Buffalo Bills who have been at the top of the division. It's 9/11 in New York. There's so many elements here. National television. I expect this to be the loudest crowd we've heard at MetLife Stadium for a Jets game in over a decade.
Yeah, it's long overdue, Scott, since you mentioned earlier when the Rex Ryan era began, and of course Mark Sanchez and his time in New York. I mean, the fever pitch was electric the moment Aaron Rodgers, it was announced that he was going to be traded to the New York Jets, and certainly it's going to be a fever pitch Monday night when the Jets take on the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be exciting. And of course, they're going up against an in-state rival in the state of New York against the Buffalo Bills. And the Jets on the offensive side, they've made big changes. They signed a big free agent, running back Dalvin Cook. Give me your thoughts, Scott, on Dalvin Cook and what he brings to the table as a running back for the New York Jets.
I think Dalvin Cook, in a lot of ways, is an insurance policy for Breece Hall more than anything else. What you've seen with guys that have had the injury that Breece Hall had is that a lot of times that first year back, it takes them a while to really get back up to speed. And you've heard this from several doctors. They've said that you're looking at Breece Hall being on limited pitch count and probably not being full effectiveness until maybe around week six or so. And if you think about it, it's sort of similar to what the Jets had in 2010 when they went to the AFC Championship game. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I'm just making the parallel here between Dalvin Cook and LaDainian Tomlinson. I know Dalvin Cook's a little bit younger, but the same principle applies. LaDainian Tomlinson came in here and was supposed to be the second back to Sean Green, who is the ascending young guy, which is what you're going to see with Breece Hall. And then really what happened with LaDainian Tomlinson is he wound up being the number one back for a significant portion of the season. But the first 6 weeks of the year, he put together some really strong production. Then he fell off, and people will look at his numbers and say, wow, he had a really good year. But most of that production came in the first 6 weeks. If the Jets can get that out of Dalvin Cook, then that's exactly what they need. They need somebody that can really cover until Breece Hall's ready. But I will say this, Aaron Rodgers last year, and this is courtesy of my friend Alex Rollins, who has an outstanding YouTube channel that everybody should subscribe to, he came up with this statistic for me, and I thought it was fascinating. Aaron Rodgers last year threw 35% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. So what does that mean? It means that a guy like Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, or receivers like, say, Mecole Hardman or Garrett Wilson, who can make plays with the ball in their hands, who can take the ball and bring it 6-7 yards on a short pass, a quick strike. Somebody like that is valuable. So that's really where I think you're going to see Dalvin Cook make his presence felt, is it's going to be on those short plays. He's going to be probably the lead running back, at least at first, for the first couple of weeks until Breece Hall is back to regular speed, or at least you hope he will be. And so I don't know that I'm as bullish on Dalvin Cook as some people are, because he's fallen off a bit. Last year, in terms of yards above expected, he was towards the bottom of the league, and he started to slowly decline. But if the Jets can get what they need out of him, which is a few strong weeks, and then have him as that second guy after Breece Hall and that extra weapon for Aaron Rodgers, who clearly is happy that Dalvin Cook is here, he had been recruiting him, then that would be mission accomplished, I think.
Indeed, it would be mission accomplished, and I'm certain that Breece Hall can be at full speed once again. But like you said, Dalvin Cook is indeed an insurance policy. But Dalvin had some great seasons with the Vikings, and who knows, he could put up some major numbers, knock on wood, if he stays healthy for most of the year. And you put Breece Hall in the mix as well. And we go from the running game to the wide receivers. So, of course, Garrett Wilson is back as the, one of the main wide receivers for the Jets this year, but also, too, you've got new additions to the team, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard. Of course, they're familiar with Aaron during their time together in Green Bay, and Mecole Hardman, Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Kansas City Chiefs. Scott, just give me your thoughts on the receiving core for the Jets.
Well, I don't think the receiving core is anything special, honestly. It was a little bit better with Corey Davis before he retired, but even with Corey Davis, you were looking at one real playmaker in Garrett Wilson, who is probably going to be one of the top 5 to 10 receivers in the NFL by the time this season is over. And then after that, you've got some okay receivers. Alan Lazard is fine. He's nothing special. He gives you a big guy that can go downfield and win those go balls for Aaron Rodgers, which is why Rodgers likes him. And the fact that Rodgers trusts him, obviously, is key, and that's why he's here. That's why the Jets signed him as a free agent. Mecole Hardman is fine for what the Jets are going to use him for. And like I said before, Ed, Aaron Rodgers completed 35% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. And Mecole Hardman is ideally suited for that type of situation because he's a very fast guy who, once the ball's in his hands, can make things happen. Hardman is a guy who hasn't really lived up to what the Chiefs thought he would be when they picked him in the second round. They thought he was going to be this incredible playmaker. He's been fine, but a little underwhelming. But in this offense, I think he has a chance to be very interesting. In training camp, there were a lot of plays where Rodgers would go to Hardman on these quick strikes, and I expect to see a lot of that. Randall Cobb, you know what he is, grizzled veteran, 32 years old, winding down his time in the league. He's more of a fourth, fifth receiver type of guy. And then from there, what you're going to see is a lot of these players who are up-and-coming young talent that the Jets are hoping they can get something out of, at least at the moment as we speak, Ed. The two receivers that are going to be prominent pieces at the back end of this receiver rotation are Gibson, who was an undrafted free agent, and then also Jason Brownlee, who is an undrafted free agent. He was out of Southern Miss, I believe. Gibson was out of Stephen F. Austin. And Gibson's a fast guy, smaller dude, sort of more along the lines of that Hardman mold, which will fit the Jets system well and what Aaron Rodgers likes to do well. But I think a big part of it, too, is he's probably going to be the primary return man. And Brownlee sort of has that Corey Davis feel to him. Chris Nimbley, who covers the Jets for JetsInsider.com and did a bunch of training camp reports for me on Play Like a Jet, he compared what he saw from Brownlee to Stevie Johnson, the former Buffalo Bills receiver. If he could be anything close to that, that would be an outstanding find for the Jets. So I think the receiving core is, I guess you'd say, okay, nothing special. Really would have liked to have seen them add that real number two guy that could have been that extra playmaker with Garrett Wilson, but they weren't able to do that. I think you'll see them rely on their tight ends a fair amount too. Tyler Conklin had a disappointing year last year, a lot of fumbles, a lot of drops, but he's got a lot of upside. Very athletic guy, former basketball player. Is he the guy that he was his final year in Minnesota, or is he the guy that he was last year at the Jets? If he can be the guy that he was that final year in Minnesota, I think he'll make quite a bit of a difference. And Ed, like I said, because of that short strike passing game, you'll see a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends because they'll be in there to block for the running game and also for the short passes. Conklin's a guy that can do that and also make some plays in the passing game. You got C.J. Uzomah, you know what he is. Jeremy Ruckert, I think, will get more opportunities this year as the third tight end as well, the former fourth-round pick of the Jets from last season. So it'll be interesting, or third-round pick, I should say. It'll be interesting, though, to see what they try and do with this passing game. You'll probably see quite a bit of the running backs involved as well to make up for the loss of Corey Davis and a receiving core that I would say is probably at best around average.
Wow, very interesting, right? I was going to ask you about the tight end play for this upcoming season, but you explained it so well, Scott, how you feel that they're going to have more of a short passing game and rely more on the running game and use the tight ends as blockers. And, you know, what we've seen so far leading up into this regular season is that Aaron had some issues with his offensive line, not missing their blocks, not being on time for their assignments. What's going on with the offensive linemen with the Jets, such as Mekhi Becton and also with Wes Schweitzer and Elijah Vera Tucker, who had a terrible injury not too long ago? What's the status? What's the chemistry like right now with Aaron and his offensive linemen?
Well, Ed, I think a lot of it just comes down to health, and that's been the big issue for the Jets more than anything else. You've heard people talk about how bad the offensive line is, and honestly, when these guys are healthy, the projected starters, they're fine. They're probably somewhere around middle of the pack, maybe slightly below, but it's not a bad offensive line when you have Mekhi Becton healthy, when you have Dwayne Brown healthy, when you have Elijah Vera Tucker healthy. The problem is these guys have all been banged up, particularly Brown, Becton, and Vera Tucker. Brown, Vera Tucker, and Becton all coming off of serious injuries. Becton, of course, has missed, for the most part, two straight years with injury. So the Jets are having him in the lineup for the first time in quite a while, and he's switching positions from left tackle to right tackle. Now, I'm not really all that worried about Mekhi Becton when he's playing. What I'm worried about is, can he stay on the field? Elijah Vera Tucker, you know the story with him, very versatile. He's played tackle. He's played guard. He's been really good at both. He has potential to be an all-pro level guard, but he's coming off a major injury last year where he missed a significant portion of the season. Dwayne Brown had shoulder surgery. He's 38 years old. When he's healthy, he's fine. But last year, he was playing a big portion of the season with that shoulder injury and then had the shoulder surgery at the end of the season. He's recovering from that, didn't participate at training camp at all. Of course, AVT missed a portion of training camp. Becton was in and out. Even Lakin Tomlinson, who hadn't had any injury issues, he missed some time at training camp. So the big thing here is whether or not these guys can stay healthy. One thing that they do have that will help them quite a bit is Connor McGovern came back on a cheap one-year deal. He's the projected starter at center, but if the Jets need to, they can move him over to guard and put the rookie Joe Tippmann, their second-round pick out of Wisconsin, at center. If they do that, they can move Elijah Vera Tucker to tackle. That, of course, would be if Dwayne Brown or Mekhi Becton gets hurt. The issue, of course, is if these guys can't stay healthy, then you're going to see some players that you really don't want to see. Wes Schweitzer is okay at depth. You don't really want him starting games. Billy Turner, I'm not trying to be mean here, but he's probably the first tackle off the bench for the Jets here, him or Max Mitchell. And Billy Turner's terrible. He's got a lot of experience. I joke about this on the podcast. He has a lot of starting experience at tackle, at guard, pretty much anywhere you would want to start on the offensive line, but he's bad. And the only reason he's here is because Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett like him, but he's not good. Max Mitchell struggled quite a bit at camp. He had his ups and downs. He's been very erratic, and he's a guy that you can't really rely on to be a starter right now for the Jets. So really what it comes down to here, Ed, is that the Jets starting unit hasn't practiced a ton together, in fact, at all, really, because Dwayne Brown hasn't practiced at all. But even the other guys haven't practiced together a ton. But if they're healthy, that is a massive question mark, and that's been the issue. That's why a lot of people thought the Jets should have tried to trade for Josh Jones, who wound up being traded to Houston for a fifth-round pick. I believe it was a fifth-round pick for a seventh-rounder in Josh Jones. Would have been nice to have that kind of depth because behind the guys that are starting, there's not much. And that's really the issue there. I don't think the offensive line is bad, per se. I think it's just that you've got to hold your breath and hope that they stay healthy, because if they don't, then it could get really bad really quickly.
You're absolutely right about that, Scott. The offensive line is the anchor of the football team, and I know Aaron had his issues with his line, what we've seen and what's been documented leading up until the start of this regular season. Hopefully, as you said, knock on wood, they're healthy, everything will be okay, and hopefully number 8 won't be on his back for really the majority of the season. And the bread and butter of the Jets for a long time has been the defense. And let's transition over to the defensive side. John Franklin Myers has been solid. Also, Bryce Huff. And also, Quinnen Williams got rewarded with a big contract during the offseason. Also, you got Al Woods and Yeff with the addition of Solomon Thomas. I just want to ask you, what's your thoughts on the defensive line for the Jets coming into this season?
Well, the Jets' defensive line is incredibly deep. And it has potential to be one of the best units in the entire league, the defensive line. What you're looking at here, and this is what's interesting, is the Jets for a long time had really good interior play, but didn't really have much of an outside pass rush. You'd hear jokes about Calvin Pace coming back. He was here for a million years, and Brian Thomas was another one you heard jokes about. But those guys were more edge setters than real havoc causers as pass rushers, similar to Jordan Jenkins, who was here for a few years, a former third-round pick out of Georgia. But none of those guys are going to be confused with actual problem causers from the edge. Now you have the interior presence with guys like Quinton Williams, and you mentioned Al Woods, Quentin Jefferson, and guys like that. But on the outside, you're going to see some of John Franklin Myers, who I think will play in and out. You're going to see Michael Clemens, who I think will play in and out. But really, the addition of Will McDonald and the progression and development of Jermaine Johnson and Bryce Huff is huge here. Bryce Huff is a guy who, as I've joked, is a one-trick pony. He's a guy that you throw him in there on obvious passing downs and you tell him, go get the quarterback. And he does, and he's really good at it. He's one of those players that I think at the end of the season could put up some big sack numbers and get paid as a free agent. You put him with the two guys that the Jets picked in the first round 2 years in a row, Jermaine Johnson last year, Will McDonald this year. Now, we know that Robert Saleh likes to rotate these guys and keep them fresh, so I don't know that you're going to see them play an enormous amount of snaps, but the combination of Huff, who we know can be very effective as that pass rusher on the outside, Jermaine Johnson, who did pretty well in limited reps last year. I think he played 22% of the snaps. He was more of a factor in the run game, but in the preseason and in training camp, he's been wreaking havoc. He put on muscle, and he really seems to have been ready to take the, or he really seems to be ready to take that step this year, that stride into what the Jets thought they were getting when they picked him in the first round last year. He's been a real problem causer all throughout training camp and in the preseason. And so if he can be that guy, and if Will McDonald, who a lot of people were wondering what he would bring to the table year number one, if he can be that guy this year, which he seemed to be in training camp and in the preseason with these spin moves and all that, you go back and watch his tape, and I'll tell you, Ed, I was hoping for Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver out of Ohio State who went to Seattle and has looked really, really good in training camp in the preseason, although he might miss some time with an injury. I wanted him to be a Jets draft pick because I thought he could be that number two guy with his old running mate, Garrett Wilson, who, of course, he knows from his Ohio State days. I thought that would be a great combination. When they picked Will McDonald, I was kind of surprised and taken aback because you figured they might go offensive line or perhaps for Jackson Smith and Jigba. But after a couple of minutes, I was good with it because it wasn't a problem with Will McDonald, the player. It was just out of nowhere. Will McDonald, the player, has a chance to be really nasty. And so if Will McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, and Bryce Huff can all get to the quarterback, and then you know what you have inside with Quinton Williams, who is one of the best defensive players in the league. Last year we saw him break out and become one of the top interior defensive linemen. I think he's going to be even better this year, especially with that added help on the outside. So I think this defensive line group is going to get to the quarterback early and often, and they have a chance to really cause issues for opposing offenses.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, Scott. I mean, that D-line has been good for quite some time for the Jets, and certainly this year the expectations are extremely high. And I want to just get into the linebacker core just for a moment, specifically with C.J. Mosley. Listen, we know about C.J. and his time in Baltimore. Hey, amazing with the Ravens, and so far so good since during his time with the New York Jets. He's been outstanding. And, of course, he has some other guys on his, with the linebacker core, such as Quincy Williams. Just give me your thoughts on CJ and the rest of the linebacker core for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest here, Ed. I think the linebacking core is one of the weaker units, that and the safety unit. CJ Mosley was pretty good the first part of the season last year, but then he really started to fall off a cliff. Particularly in pass coverage, he just looks slow out there. And I think he might be, unfortunately, in the beginning of a decline. Zaire Barnes, I think, has a lot of potential. He's very athletic. He and Quincy Williams are very similar, right? They're both athletic. They both can make some really jaw-dropping plays, but at the same time, their instincts can be spotty. They'll miss a lot of tackles. They'll have some issues in pass coverage. In fact, I would say Quincy Williams is pretty weak in pass coverage, and Zaire Barnes wasn't very good in the preseason. I believe 15 of 15 targets were completed against him. That's really pretty bad. Jamien Sherwood is a guy who was a draft pick a couple of years ago that the Jets have been continuing to develop. We'll see what he does. But overall, this linebacking core is really not anything close to what you would hope it would be. But look, every unit on the team can't be great. There's going to be weak spots. You hope that the defensive line can help cover for the weakness in the safety group and the linebacking group. Of course, you would hope that the strong cornerback room can do that as well. Chaz Surratt, the final linebacker that's here. Surratt is a guy who was a converted quarterback from college. He wound up becoming a linebacker, and he's another one who's been a bit of a project. Played reasonably well in training camp in the preseason, and so we'll see what he's able to do. But, yeah, that linebacking group is not where you would want it to be, but, again, the defense can't be great at every single spot, and so you've got C.J. Mosley, who's the leader of that group, and you hope that they can get enough out of them to be covered up for by that defensive line and the cornerback group.
All right, and I want to move along now to the cornerback group, Sauce Gardner. Listen, Sauce, for lack of a better term, he's really made his impact in a short amount of time since he's been in the NFL. And big things, he's predicting big things for himself this year. Give me your thoughts on Sauce and his play and the improvements he's made coming into 2023.
The cornerback group is interesting, Ed. I think Sauce Gardner, if you listen to everybody on social media, apparently Sauce Gardner is actually not good. He just gets away with holding and defensive pass interference all the time because apparently the league has this weird conspiracy that they want him to be great and help the Jets. Of course, living in reality, that's not the case. What's really going on is that Sauce is already becoming arguably the top cornerback in the entire league. And so when you have him locking down one side, DJ Reed, another one of the better corners in the NFL, who was probably Joe Douglas's best free agent signing since he's been here. You want to talk about a deal, 3 years, $33 million for a guy who really has emerged as one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL. Michael Carter, a really good slot corner as well. So you've got some, you know, potential for that to be the best cornerback group in the entire league. Like I said, the corners and the defensive line, both elite, and help cover up for that weak safety room because, let's be honest, Jordan Whitehead, not very good last year. Adrian Amos, who comes in here as a free agent, had a really poor season for the Packers. You're just sort of hoping that he bounces back. Ashton Davis has been a massive disappointment since the Jets drafted him in the third round a couple of years ago. A lot of people were hoping that it would be Trey Dean, the undrafted rookie out of Florida, who would make the team over Davis. Dean did come back on the practice squad, but Davis has been really bad. He had a couple of good preseason games this year, so people are hoping that he's finally putting that together. But that safety room is not good. Tony Adams is a guy that they are really relying on. He was an undrafted free agent out of Illinois last year who unexpectedly made the team, played pretty well when he got his opportunities at the end of last year and is a projected starter this year. So if he plays well, that might help bail out the safety group. But the cornerback group, I think, is what will really help bail out that safety group. Those three guys, the starters, from Gardner to Reed to Carter, I think are going to play a huge role in what this secondary is able to accomplish. So if they can get pressure on the front end with Quinnen Williams and the edge rushers, and then they can hold it down with the cornerbacks, Sauce, Carter, and Reed. That, I think, has a chance for the Jets to have a really, or provide the Jets with a really outstanding pass coverage unit and make life hell for opposing quarterbacks and opposing wide receivers.
You're right about that, and certainly the Jets can make things happen in the secondary, and hopefully Sauce Gardner and those gentlemen that you mentioned earlier with Reed and Whitehead and Hardy, they can contribute as well. And I want to transition now over to the head coach, Robert Saleh. since I've had you on this program for quite a while now, Scott, we know Robert, his DNA is defense, coming over from the San Francisco 49ers, being a former defensive coordinator. This is his third year as the head coach of the New York Jets. So the pressure, the intensity is always high in New York, but now you've got Aaron Rodgers on board. The intensity and the pressure is even higher now. How is Coach Saleh handling all of this with Rodgers and, of course, with the expectations even higher for possibly they're talking about playoffs, Super Bowl, and things of that nature?
Obviously, I'm not in the locker room or I'm not in the meetings and all that, but just based on what I've heard and what I've seen publicly, he seems to be handling everything pretty well. The thing about Robert Saleh is that he's sort of the reverse of Adam Gase in that he's very much a pee person. Players love him. He's a guy who you've seen him. He brings a real energy to the sideline, a real energy to the locker room. He understands a lot of the aspects of being a coach that go beyond the X's and O's. And I think that's something that will serve him well with somebody like Aaron Rodgers. And it'll serve him well with guys that are more fun personalities like Quinnen Williams. I think this will be the year that you really find out what Robert Saleh is made of, right? Because his first year, there were quite a few mistakes. You chalk it up to him being a rookie head coach. Last year, there were ups and downs, but you had everything going on with Zach Wilson and Mike LaFleur and all of that. And so it was tough, a lot of injuries, right? This year they bring in Aaron Rodgers, and so now no excuses. You expect to see results. So, yeah, on the outside, you may see Saleh as this solid rock, a guy who has the trust of the locker room, guy who is a fun personality, who understands how to get the most out of certain guys, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. But the test comes now. Can the Jets really, what it comes down to is win games? Can the Jets make the playoffs? Can the Jets do something this year that they haven't done since 2010? And that is play games past the regular season. And if they can't do that, then all of this stuff that we see on the outside, all of the fun-loving, player-friendly, people-person type of stuff is not going to matter. Because the NFL is a results-oriented business. As Jerry Glanville liked to say, the NFL stands for not for long if you don't win. And so that's really what it's going to be about. Robert Saleh looks like he's a guy that is well-suited for this role. He looks the part, as they say. But can he actually deliver results? If he does, then I think he may very well get a contract extension. If he doesn't, then he may not be long for this job. So it's really very much a test for him this year to see what he can do, and we'll see if he passes that test.
Let's hope he passes the test. And I tell you one thing, the tests are always hard in New York, but hey, if you pass it, hey, guess what? To the victor goes the spoils, and certainly Robert Saleh, hopefully he can get a good season, and as you said, Scott, hopefully he's rewarded with a contract extension. And speaking of being rewarded, listen, the New York Jets, they got rewarded, and certainly somebody's a future first ballot Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. Listen, great seasons he's had with the Green Bay Packers, four-time league MVP, former Super Bowl MVP. So after his last game as a Packer, he almost retired, but hey, he went into darkness, had the darkness retreat. He emerged from it, saw the light, and wanted to be traded, and the New York Jets made the move to land now number 8. So give me your thoughts, Scott, on what was your reaction like when you found out that Aaron was going to be the quarterback for the New York Jets?
My thoughts on Rodgers are I think he's going to be here for a good time, not for a long time. So he even said it. His plan is to be here for a couple of years, and all things equal, if everything goes the way that everybody wants, he'll be here for a couple of years. But he's going to take it year by year because he's going to turn 40 this year, and so we have to see how his body holds up. Now, he's looked good in camp, one preseason game, but he is still going to be turning 40. So the question becomes, when does father time get Aaron Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers can be anything close to what he was the two back-to-back MVP seasons in Green Bay, then the expectations should be through the roof, right? Because even if the Jets follow the Denver blueprint, and just to refresh people's memories, Denver year one went to the playoffs, and then year two, Peyton Manning set all these records. They brought in all these free agents, guys like Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, and DeMarcus Ware, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl. Now, they lost to the Seahawks, but the point is, year two is where they brought in all the reinforcements, and they were ready for that Super Bowl run. And so even if that's what the Jets' path is, that year number one they make the playoffs, and year two they go out, get a bunch of free agents, and really make a run for it, I think that's something that if Rodgers stays and if Rodgers continues to play at a high level, it's absolutely a possibility. I mean, what you really are looking to see here is, can Aaron Rodgers get back to what he was 2 years ago? Were the injuries last year and the new players the reason that his play dipped last year? Or is it because he's getting older and the decline is starting to set in? Because you got to remember, Ed, as optimistic as we want to be as Jets fans and as optimistic as we should be, only one quarterback has really played at a high level past the age of 40, and that's Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's sort of a unicorn that way. Most guys are retired by this age. I think Orrin Moon played till he was like 42, but he really wasn't all that good towards the end. Peyton Manning was retired by this point. Drew Brees played reasonably well his age 40 season before he retired, but a lot of it was screen passes and stuff. So you got to hope that the clock doesn't strike midnight on Aaron Rodgers and he turns into a pumpkin once he gets past the age of 40. But if he can play anything close to the way that he played for the majority of his career in Green Bay, then the Jets have an opportunity to do something the next couple of years. You start with this year, hope they make the playoffs. And I think Aaron Rodgers himself said this, make the playoffs, make the tournament, and then see what happens. And then from there, build on that, add more pieces, and hopefully make a run. So the hope is, see what the Jets can do this year, make the playoffs, and then hope for a run. And then after that, you hope that Rodgers stays healthy, continues to be sharp, the Jets can add pieces around him, and maybe get another year or two out of him beyond this year. And so that's where I think the expectation should be. But if you're a Jets fan, I think you want to be realistic. You hope that there's a chance they can make a real deep run, but start with the expectation of the postseason, the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. And if you get that, I think you should be a happy person. It's one of those deals, Ed, where people will say it's not that hard to make the playoffs in the NFL because now 14 teams make it. But remember, it's a little misleading because, yeah, if the Jets were in the NFC, it probably wouldn't be that hard to make the playoffs. In the AFC, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a real battle because every team in the Jets division is well-suited to make the playoffs and compete for the division, with the possible exception of the Patriots. Every team in that Steelers division is well-suited to make the playoffs. Kenny Pickett is going to take a step forward this year, you would assume. We know what the Ravens can be with Lamar Jackson. The Bengals with Joe Burrow. You look at the Browns with Deshaun Watson potentially bouncing back. They've got a really good roster. So all those teams have a chance to make the playoffs. You get the Jaguars are a playoff caliber team. And then you've got the Chiefs and the Chargers in the West. So there's a lot of competition here. If you're a Jets fan, I think your expectation should be get in the playoffs this year, see what happens, and then hope that Rodgers' play carries over to next year and they can add extra reinforcements and really make a run in 2024.
Wow, well put right there. And I want to stay just with Rodgers for a moment. We've seen another quarterback who jumped ship from Green Bay to New York. It wasn't so long ago, I think he wore the number 4. And I have to ask you, in your opinion, Scott, what has been the biggest difference? I know it's a little premature, but what's been the biggest difference in terms of the hype and the anticipation with Rodgers going to New York as opposed to Favre going to New York?
That's a great question, Ed. And actually, I've had a lot of discussions about this, and it fascinates me to a large degree. If you remember back to what happened with Brett Favre said he was retiring, then changed his mind and wanted to come back. But by that point, the Packers had already internally made the decision to move on to Aaron Rodgers, and it forced a weird standoff where Brett Favre came to training camp. He was showing up to training camp with the Packers, and they basically were like, we can't have you here. And so it became a situation where the Packers needed to trade Brett Favre, and Brett Favre wanted to go to the Minnesota Vikings, but the Packers did not want to trade him within their division, and they didn't even really want to trade him within the NFC. And so the only team that stepped up with an offer outside of that was the Jets. And Brett Favre didn't really want to go to the Jets. He really didn't feel like it would be a comfortable situation for him in the New York, New Jersey area, but the Jets flew out there. They wined and dined him. They convinced him. And so he eventually relented, and a big part of it was because Favre still wanted to play, and his only chance to play was going to be with the Jets. And so Favre showed up way later than Aaron Rodgers, and he was not really all that willing. He wanted to play, and he made his peace with playing with the Jets, but he really wanted to go to Minnesota. And if you remember, after that first year with the Jets let him leave, and he went to Minnesota and played there for a couple of years. With Aaron Rodgers, it's different. Now, the one thing that is the same with Favre and Rodgers is that Rodgers had no other options realistically, because the only team that was interested in trading for his contract was the Jets. Now, I think if his contract hadn't been what it was, other teams would have been interested too. But the reality is the Jets were the only team that were interested. But the Jets, it wasn't the same situation in terms of them having to basically beg and plead and all that. Yeah, we know about how they flew out there to meet with Rodgers and they had to wine and dine him and show him. But Rodgers was all in from the second he made the decision. He decided he wanted to be a Jet. He wanted to be here. He was excited to play with his old buddy Nathaniel Hackett. He immediately took Zach Wilson under his wing. He immediately took on a leadership role. And remember, the Jets got him in April, so there's been months and months of this building up, and he's been with the team all that time as opposed to Favre showing up at the last second. And the players already seem to love him, and you see how they all have taken to him. He's really taken an active role in the offense and really just with the players in general. I mean, little things, like you heard he took Mekhi Becton out to lunch, where I think actually it was at the team facility. They had lunch together. And he really stuck up for Mekhi Becton and pushed for him to get an opportunity to start at right tackle, and that's what's happened. You've heard how he's really taken a liking to a lot of the defensive players, hanging out with Michael Clemens, who he calls Debo. A lot of the players call him that because of the tiny Lister character Debo in the Friday movies, right? And so that's really been the difference, is that Aaron Rodgers, it seems like he's excited to be here. He's happy to be here. He loves to be. He's going out on the town with Sauce Gardner and Alan Lazard and Breece Hall and seeing Rangers games and going to Broadway plays and doing things like that. He seems to really like being in New York, whereas Favre was here and was staying at a place way out in the boonies in the countryside. He just wasn't really built for that type of situation, that atmosphere. And so that seems to be what the difference is here, Ed. Rodgers wanted to be here. He made it clear he wanted to be here. He was excited to come here. He's made a major impact in the locker room already. He's taken a lot of these guys under his wing. He's taken an active mentorship role with Zach Wilson, who he seems to like as a younger brother of sorts. And Favre really was just here because he wanted to play football, and the Jets were the only team that the Packers were willing to trade him to. It's a very different situation in that regard. So, yes, both guys legendary quarterbacks. Yes, both guys former MVPs. Yes, both guys former Super Bowl champions. But the major difference here to me is how much Aaron Rodgers wants to be here, how invested he is, and how the players really seem to have immediately gotten on board with doing things his way and him really taking the reins. And so I think it's a major difference, honestly. And also for the fan base, the difference is with Favre, it was out of the blue in August. It was completely unexpected. This time around, the Jets made it clear immediately after the season that they were going to be looking for a major upgrade at quarterback with a veteran. And it became clear fairly quickly that Rodgers was the top target. It became fairly quickly that Rodgers wanted to be here. It became fairly quickly that the Jets were the only team that were going to be able to get a deal done for Rodgers, and that he wanted to be here. He was all in. And so the Jets fans have had, since that point, and really especially since they acquired him in April, to get excited about Rodgers and to see what his presence would mean here for the team. So those are the major differences, and I think it's fascinating. I think it has a chance to really pay off for this team if Rodgers can, knock on wood, stay healthy, and if these guys can really get on the same page with him and heed his leadership.
You're absolutely right about that, Scott. I did notice some of those differences. Like when Brett was playing for the Jets that one year he was there, it was mainly a football thing. But since he's been in the New York, New Jersey area, he's really been, as you say, out on the town and gotten a chance to know some of his teammates, try to bond with them, specifically with Zach Wilson, having that big brother, little brother relationship is definitely so far so good. It's new times for Aaron Rodgers, and he's definitely enjoying his time so far being in the New York area. And when you think of New York players and sports teams and just how New York sports fans as a whole, they really love players that they had that have big personalities, and especially players that embrace the area. What has been Jets fans' response to Aaron Rodgers since he's been a member of the Jets?
He's really seemed to take a liking to it. He's been going out on the town. There's been a bunch of fun stories about he went out with Sauce Gardner to a Rangers game, and they were, I think it was in the press area or whatever it was, or the locker rooms or wherever it is, I guess the VIP area. And they saw Jessica Alba, and Roger said, "Look, it's Jessica Alba." And Sauce said, "Who's Jessica Alba?" And then he teased Sauce about not knowing who Jessica Alba is. Sauce brought him that chain, which is really cool. So you can see that relationship developing. He went out with Breece Hall and Alan Lazard. He went to a Taylor Swift concert. There's video of that. So he seems to really be enjoying it here. And as far as the teammates and all that, like I said, taking Mekhi Becton out to lunch, really taking an active role in the development of Zach Wilson. If you've watched Hard Knocks or One Jets Drive, you've seen that. Little things, and Zach Wilson, to his credit, has really soaked it up. I mean, you watched on Hard Knocks where he said, you do the double hitch, and then you get out because I've seen you hitch four times, and you're waiting too long. If you hitch twice and there's nothing there, use your legs. And in that preseason game, Zach Wilson did it. He hitched twice, and then he got out and made that. You've seen Aaron Rodgers goof around at practice with Michael Clemens, with Quinnen Williams. If you watch Hard Knocks, you saw him joke, hey, that was Quinnen Williams having his 11th sack. These guys all look to him as a leader, and he's really enjoying everything that's around him, all the surroundings of New York, like I said, Taylor Swift concerts and things like that. He's enjoying being with Nathaniel Hackett. There's a scene in Hard Knocks where they sit the players down and teach them about Leslie Nielsen and his movies and Airplane, Naked Gun, all of that. So he really seems to be having fun. The fans, he's signing autographs. They're chanting for him in practices. This is not what a lot of people thought the Jets were getting, because you heard the stories out of Green Bay about how he had been difficult the last couple of years and there was some friction there between him and the front office. But he's really been great for the Jets so far. It's been fantastic. It's everything you could have wanted. Now you just hope it translates to results on the field.
As they say, a change will do you good, and so far so good. Aaron is enjoying the change, not just with his new team, but most importantly with the new area that he's in, specifically in New York City, New Jersey area. All right, so Scott, I got to ask you this. So we talked about Aaron, we talked about Coach Sala, we talked about all the important parts that make up the New York Jets. So I got to ask you, what's your 2023 season outlook like for the Jets? Do you see them going to the playoffs? Do you see them maybe having an opportunity to play for the Lombardi? Do you see them going below 500? What's your outlook for the team this year?
I think I hit on this a little bit earlier, but I'll expand upon it. I think the Jets will probably win 10 or 11 games, get a wild card, although I do think they'll push for the division. I think the Bills will ultimately win the division, but I think they'll push for the division, and I think they'll get a wild card. I could see them possibly winning a playoff game if they get the right opponent in the first round, like there's no reason why I couldn't see them possibly winning a game against the Jaguars, for example, if that winds up being the matchup, if, say, they get the top wild card seed. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not saying it's out of the question. I just think that this year they're probably a playoff team with potential to maybe make a run if things go right. But I think this year is the year that will set the stage, hopefully, for 2024. And if Aaron Rodgers and this team can prove to players around the league that they're for real, then I think that just like what you saw in Denver with Peyton Manning that first year, you'll see, or I should say that second year, you'll see a lot of big-ticket players wanting to come here and potentially chase a ring with Rodgers and the rest of these guys. So I think my expectation is 10, 11 wins and a playoff spot this year. Anything above that would be a bonus, and then build on that for next year.
All right, solid. And I've got to ask you this question. Monday night, Bills and the Jets, it's going to be a worldwide television audience. All right, silly question, but who wins and what's the score?
I think I hate making predictions like this, but I do think with the crowd behind them and everything going into this, I think the Jets will win this game. I think it'll be close. I think they'll win somewhere in the 3 to 7 point range. I'm going to go out and say 24-21 is your final score, something along those lines.
All right, solid. It's going to be a close game Monday night between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers making his regular season debut as the quarterback of the New York Jets. And you heard it from him. He's Scott Mason, host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. Again, Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Play Like a Jet.
Ed, thanks, brother. Really appreciate you having me on. Happy to come back anytime you like. Right now, we've got daily podcasts happening as always, 365 days a year, fresh podcast, even in the off season. It's probably why I'm pulling out what's remaining of my hair at this point, but we've got daily shows. It's going to be nonstop action as we get ready for the Jets and the Bills Monday night. I'm really looking forward to it, Ed, and I think that anybody who's a Jets or Bills fan, and really anybody who's a football fan, should be highly anticipating this matchup because whether you're a Jets fan or a Bills fan, this game is going to have an electric atmosphere, and I think you're going to hear the Jets crowd, as I said, be as loud as it's been since any point since the 2009 home opener.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that, Scott, and certainly us, all of us being football fans, and we've waited long enough, and it's definitely worth the wait, and Bills Jets on Monday night is going to be exciting from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So, Scott, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Play Like a Jet, and any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, for sure. The website is playlikeajet.com. You can find me on Twitter, at playlikeajet1. You can rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere where you get your podcast. All reviews are very much appreciated because the way the algorithm works, the more reviews we get on iTunes, the easier it is for the show to pop up when people search Jets Podcast. So if you can go ahead and review the show, give us 5 stars, it would really be appreciated. It doesn't take you much time, and it costs you nothing to do it. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. So iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere you find podcasts. We've got our YouTube channel, youtube.com/playlikeajet. We're going to really be ramping up the content, but we've got a lot of great videos up there. Then we've got our store over at teepublic.com. It's teepublic.com. You can get yourself a Play Like a Jet logo shirt. We're going to be restocking with some other fun stuff, but we've also got the John Franklin Myers, Quinn and Williams, bless you, thank you shirt, where you can celebrate the retention of the services of Quinn and Williams, who signed that big contract extension in the offseason. So, Ed, that's where everybody can find me, and that's where everybody can find the podcast. And as always, I appreciate you having me on. I look forward to coming back soon.
Oh, appreciate you as well. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And you heard it from him, Scott Mason, host of the Play Like a Jet podcast, giving you the 411 on all things related to the NFL's New York Jets. Scott, as always, thanks again, man. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
You got it, Ed. Happy to come back anytime.
Thanks again, and we'll be back with more right after this.
I want to say thank you to Christopher and Woody for bringing me here. Obviously, Coach Sala, Joe Douglas, my agent, Dave Dunn. This is a surreal day for me. After spending 18 years in the same city, it's been a lot of introductions today and meeting a lot of people, but there's a lot of excitement. I'm here because I believe this. I believe in this team. I believe in Coach Sala. I believe in the direction of Joe Douglas. Obviously, he's drafted really well the last couple of years, having the Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year. A big thanks to the Jets organization. Obviously, a big thanks to the Green Bay Packers organization for an incredible run. That chapter is over now, and I'm excited about the new adventure here in New York.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, once again, a big special thank you to Scott Mason, host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. It's the podcast that's dedicated to all things related to the New York Jets. When we come back from the break, we have an interview with Dre Andrews. Dre is a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the owner of Dre's Homemade Water Ice and Ice Cream. We discuss Philadelphia Water Ice, also the city of Philadelphia, and of course we talk Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Dre is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
Oops.
Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
If there's anything better than bacon, it's more bacon. Like Smithfield Premium Bacon. A line of flavor-filled bacon made by bacon lovers for bacon lovers. Smoked longer, sliced thicker, and expertly flavored to bring bacon excitement to any bacon fan. From center-cut and applewood smoked to sweetly satisfying maple flavor to double the thick, double the smoke. Add a few slices to your burger, on top of your pancakes, or just take the whole plate for yourself. Premium bacon from Smithfield. For the love of meat.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people. Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
If there's anything better than bacon, it's more bacon. Like Smithfield Premium Bacon, a line of flavor-filled bacon made by bacon lovers for bacon lovers. Smoked longer, sliced thicker, and expertly flavored to bring bacon excitement to any bacon fan. From center-cut and applewood smoked to sweetly satisfying maple flavor to double the thick, double the smoke. Add a few slices to your burger on top of your pancakes, or just take the whole plate for yourself. Premium bacon from Smithfield, for the love of meat.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
If there's anything better than bacon, it's more bacon. Like Smithfield Premium Bacon, a line of flavor-filled bacon made by bacon lovers for bacon lovers. Smoked longer, sliced thicker, and expertly flavored to bring bacon excitement to any bacon fan. From center-cut and applewood smoked to sweetly satisfying maple flavor to double the thick, double the smoke. Add a few slices to your burger on top of your pancakes, or just take the whole plate for yourself. Premium Bacon from Smithfield, for the love of meat.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. The city of Philadelphia is one of those great, not just American cities, world-class cities where it's known for its culture, its architecture, and, of course, the food. When you think of the food and the cuisine of the city of Philadelphia, cheesesteaks, hoagies, soft pretzels, just to name a few, but there's also something that makes Philadelphia unique in its food scene, and it's been around for a long time. It's water ice. Yeah, that frozen treat that people in Philadelphia and all over the Delaware Valley happen to love. We have a gentleman on the program that not only specializes in water ice, but also in southern treats as well. Let's welcome him to the program. He is the owner of an amazing business that specializes in water ice and southern style treats as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him to the program, Dre Andrews. Hey, Dre, welcome to the program, my friend, and Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year as well.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Before we get into detail on what you provide for your business, Philadelphia, as I mentioned earlier, it's a city known for many great things, and it's always been an active food scene in so many different cultures, especially in terms of the food. Philadelphia water ice. You know, to those that may not know what a Philadelphia water ice is, you know, New Orleans has the snowball. In Hawaii, they have the shaved ice. And there's a lot of other cities that have their take on frozen treats. But two-part question, what makes a Philadelphia water ice so unique and how is it prepared?
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing, so like you mentioned, other cities like southern cities and states, they might have the shaved ice or snow cones. Ours is made in the batch machine. So Philadelphia water ice, when you hear the word water ice, you know that person's from Philadelphia or they taking something from Philadelphia, taking it to their city. So when you hear water ice, you know it's, that person is from Philadelphia and is unique to Philadelphia. No other city or state called this frozen dessert water ice. So it's made in the batch machine. So what separates it from, say, shaved ice or snow cones is whatever ingredients that you're using, or fruit or syrups or base or whatever it may be called, you may call it, is blended in the batch machine and is frozen as the machine is mixing the product. So what makes my product different than other wood ice companies or manufacturers here in the city is my process. So I'm not going to go through my process, but other cities in the tri-state area, say New Jersey or New York or other places, they may call it ices or Italian ice. Philadelphia, what separates us from those individual or those cities is that ours is smoother, it's sweeter, it's sweeter, but it's also smooth like ice cream. With but we don't have, it doesn't have dairy in it. It's cholesterol free and so forth like that. And then you know different places, some places like mine, they can also be what you call it, vegan friendly. So again, Philadelphia is similar to what ices or Italian ice, but ours are is creamier and sweeter than other cities throughout the tri-state area.
Solid. I want to stay just with your business. You know, when again, water ice is like a combat sport in Philadelphia. There's so many different stands, as you mentioned earlier, and they have their take and their recipes on how they do things. You mentioned about the ice and things of that nature. What makes your water ice is different from others in Philadelphia?
So one of the things is the process plus the ingredients that I use. So I have several flavors. I have flavors. We specialize in fruit flavors. So I have the fruit flavors, and then I have the traditional flavors that adults and kids are familiar with here generationally. I'm here in the city. So when I make mine with fruit, so, you know, some people may make theirs, say they make it with fruit or make it with fruit and just throw the pieces of fruit in there. I use the actual fruit. I let it age a certain time. I do certain things to it, other ingredients to it. So my process and the fruits that I use and so forth like that would separate me from my competitors. I don't use artificial flavors. I don't use that red dye this, blue dye that. So when I come up with different flavors monthly or for the year, when you come to my shop and then go to another shop, you can tell it's two different products. You know, who's better, that's up to you, that's relative. But you know, if you go to my stand, if you go to my shop or you buy something from me wholesale, you go to another person and say they got Dre's water ice, or they go to, say, a bodega or somebody else's shop, you can tell the difference in quality. You can tell the difference in taste in as well as other things as well. So nothing that we do is similar to other shops. When it comes to that, we try to make things that's nostalgic and is rememberable and non-traditional. So when you come to our shop, you know you've been in Dre's compared to somebody else's.
That's amazing, that information that you dropped on us is nothing like organic and natural ingredients. And you really taste the difference between natural and organic as opposed to, you know, the, like you mentioned, artificial flavors and dyes and things of that nature. And I want to say just what you said, that you pride yourself on using fresh fruit. When you're making your product, I know you said you won't go into detail about the process because we don't want to let people know how the sausage is made, but in terms of quality produce and using fresh fruit to make the water ices, do you use produce from Philadelphia alone? Do you go over to the neighboring states like maybe New Jersey, Delaware, or do you go get your produce from other countries? How does it work in terms of getting your fruit and selecting your produce to make these water ices?
I do get my product locally as well as from neighboring states, as well as other countries. So it depends on what season. So, you know, like, you know, I get some mangoes from Mexico. Sometimes I use the mangoes from Haiti, Peru. So it depends on the different seasons when I'm making it. So some, like you said, it's more of a season. We open seasonally, but we're also sometimes we go down all the way to December. So it depends on what, like I said, we specialize in the fruit flavor. So if I'm coming out with a fruit flavor water ice, it's in season. So if it's in season somewhere overseas and it's shipped here to the States, I would get it during that time. So sometimes we get stuff from Jersey, we get stuff locally, and sometimes we get stuff, some of our suppliers get stuff shipped in for us. We're probably going to be getting a lot of stuff shipped directly to us from overseas, depending on the time of the season. So if our suppliers don't have what we need at the peak time, we probably go get some stuff from overseas.
Awesome. And let's go into the next topic, just about the flavors we were talking about. Again, you mentioned about priding yourself on using the freshest ingredients, fresh fruit and things of that nature. What flavors are available at Dre's?
So we do water ice as well as ice cream. So for our water ice, since the pandemic, we cut things back just due to the supply chain, increase in costs, and so forth like that. We just stick into like four or five flavors right now. We switch it up once in a while, but just due to the headache of with how the country is dealing with the aftermath of COVID, supply chain and staffing, we keep it to four or five flavors. So we have mango, rainbow, passion fruit, strawberry lemonade, and peach. And sometimes, we switch it up, depends what part of the country you're in, because we do a lot of festivals. We do festivals up and down the East Coast. We're going to, be doing festivals over there. So we may switch it up here and there, depend on what supplies we can get. So sometimes we have problems getting supplies for a certain flavor. So I might, whatever fruit I can get that I can, whip up and master within a couple weeks, we will transition into that. Keeping it simple, trying to keep the headaches down and so forth, doing with the issues of staffing. When it comes to our ice cream flavors, we have a Southern division. We have sweet potato pie, banana pudding, strawberry shortcake, chocolate chip brownie, peach cobbler, apple crumble pie, peanut butter and jelly. We just come up with crazy non-traditional flavors, as well as things that's nostalgic. Peanut butter and jelly, something you may remember coming home after school and grandma or mommy giving you a snack before you start your homework. So we take that and turn that into a ice cream. And we just do things non-traditional. So, for example, our cookie and cream is jet black. We blend all our ingredients into the ice cream. So every spoonful is going to taste like a sweet potato pie. You're not going to get some vanilla ice cream on one spoon, and the next one you got a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of sweet potato pie, and a little bit of crust. No, every spoonful is going to taste like the actual name of the product that you have in your ice cream. So again, we throw all the cookies, the brand cookies that we use or we bake, we put that in there and come out jet black. You want to taste like ice cream, the traditional style creamy ice cream, but it's also going to taste like that cookie. You won't get that on every spoonful. So when you go to the bottom of your pint of ice cream, you're going to be like, darn. You're not going to be like, darn, there's no more cookies. I'm eating vanilla ice cream or whatever the case may be. That last spoonful is going to taste like the first spoonful, and that's how we, that's our competitive advantage and what separates us from our competitors.
Awesome, man. I love how you said that, man. When you take the spoonful of that sweet potato pie, you're actually eating that. Or like you said, with the cookies and cream, you're getting those cookie bits. You're not just getting a little ice cream. That's what people, yearn for and what people crave. And craving, are there any flavors that people have requested and you're just like, man, it's just not in season, or we can't do that right now, or it's not going to be popular?
Yes. Be honest with you, we have a cult following. So sometimes, and it's like that with majority of all our flavors. Be like I said, we for our water ice, we keep them around 4 or 5 flavors. And of course, they are 4 or 5 popular flavors. So somebody like, darn, I missed that peanut butter and jelly. I'm like, right, give us another month and a half. That's gonna come back out around September when kids going back to school and so forth like that. And we may come out with something during the the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, because it's holiday season. And, grandma always makes sweet potato pie or some type of apple pie during the holidays. So we definitely make sure we got it around the fourth quarter as well as the second quarter when you come around to Easter. One of the flavors I'm going to try to bring back, my banana water ice. That's something that people are still crying for me to make again. I haven't made that probably since the pandemic. And like I said, I use real bananas. It's not no artificial flavor 12 with this. Like, them frozen popsicles you get from the corner store, bananas nobody ever buys. Mm-hmm. Now, this is real banana. You see the seeds that's in the center of a banana. You can tell it's real banana coming to my shop than anywhere else. And most shops don't even make banana. You know what I'm saying? But we do, and that's definitely one of our top food flavors that people continue to ask me for.
Awesome, awesome. And as far as Philadelphia is concerned, people pride themselves on tradition in terms of where they like to eat, where they like to shop, and things of that nature. How is your business becoming a part of Philadelphia culture, just in terms of people not only wanting to get water ice, but also getting the ice cream as well?
Yeah, that's definitely a great question. It's definitely tough. Here in Philadelphia, when it comes to it's a big food town. So outside of, say, Italian or Mexican food or Latin food, whatever the case may be, like you mentioned, the cheesesteak, the pretzel, the hoagies, when it comes to that, those staple foods that we're known for, is very territorial. So if you go to North Philly or the North Side, everybody's going to pick their favorite cheesesteak. 9 out of 10, their favorite cheesesteak or holy spot is going to be from that side of town. You come over to the West Side, West Philly, where I'm from, my favorite is going to be, even though I might like the cheesesteak or hoagie shop or pretzel shop on the other side of town, my first store that I'm going to name is 9 out of 10 is going to be a steak shop that's in West Philly. So everybody always big up the neighborhood or the community that they're from. So it's very, very territorial. And we're making our name for ourselves over the last 10 years here in West Philly. Like I said, our shop, we looking to open, that's going to be on the north side. So we're looking to branch out and be in all major sections of tourist areas, but major, avenues, or corridors in the different sections of the city and make a name for ourselves. It's going to probably take another 2 years to do so because, since the pandemic, we had to pivot a little bit. And due to the pandemic, we made a name for ourselves in the festival market. Like I said, we up and down the East Coast maybe 2 or 3 weekends out of the month. We do major festivals, 40,000 people festivals. So, when it comes to newspapers or magazines or news or the local news, when they name the top 10 water ice or steak shops here in the city, we always mention within the top 3, top 5 every year. So everybody is starting to we're starting to be a household name, and we're going to be a household name for many generations to come.
Congratulations to you. And, the city of Philadelphia, just as a whole, very cultural. And we talked about the food and, of course, the architecture and the neighborhoods. And so, a lot of great music comes out of Philadelphia. You've got Patti LaBelle, Gamble and Huff, mm-hmm. Jasmine Sullivan, Meek Mill, of course, Will Smith, DJ Jazzy Jeff, The Roots. Have there been any celebrities or any dignitaries that have come and patronized your business?
Yes. So when I started doing festivals, I started – with a push cart in my neighborhood. When I was unable to get a bank loan, I had to, put my own money up. And then from there, I went to the Brown's Family ShopRite, a local supermarket throughout the city. And I've been getting a lot of support from local artists like Jazzy Jeff, who else? Mad Skills from Matt Skills from Virginia, Black Thought. What's the guy from, I think he's Jamaican from New York, curly hair. Special Ed, he shows me love in different cities, DMX, Nori. So all the celebrities that that usually at these festivals or in the city, they always come and support. Like I said, I've made a big name for myself in the music festival circuit. So I'm always doing VIP. I'm always getting a call to do VIP. So people always showing me love due to the just having, Rakim. Excuse me. He showed a lot of love to my son. So he took a few pictures with my son. So I'm always getting celebrities show me love for just, you know, being from the tri-state area. They know what ices is or water ice is, and they just, wow, this really tastes like mango. To give you a crazy story, I did a festival, and the girl, she brought a mango water ice, and she wanted her money back. She's like, this tastes like real mangoes. I don't like real mango. I like the artificial. You know what I'm saying? So you know I ain't getting my money back.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what customers could, you know, always come back. Celebrities like, oh, my gosh, this is really good. This is fresh. And that's what we pride ourselves on. So sometimes they come just for their word of mouth. And some come from, you know, they remember you. You know, their child, their daughter or son may come to our stand and take it back to the dressing room. And they like it. And they come get one. So, yeah, they show me a lot of love over the years.
Awesome, man. Sounds like you've definitely have had your work cut out for you meeting those celebrities and stuff, and of course introducing your product to the masses. And when we talk about Philadelphia, we mention all of the things with the food and the architecture and the music and sports. Like, Philadelphia is a sports rabid town. It's a city where people ride and die for their sports teams. And there's a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles named Jalen Hurts. As far as the last several years, Philadelphia quarterbacks have changed around the last several years. Carson Wentz was the quarterback for a minute. He gets hurt. Nick Foles comes in as the quarterback for the Eagles, wins the Super Bowl. Nick is gone, and in comes Jalen Hurts. With Jalen coming to the city and being a part of the Eagles, did you notice anything different with him in terms of his playing style and what he brought to the Eagles?
One of the things that I noticed is his story. Just being just as an athletic, you know, being Black, African American, we're very athletic individuals. So I know what we were getting on the athletic side. The experience side, he has a great story. You know, going from Alabama. The championship game, getting benched or whatever the case may be, and then going over to another university and doing very well there. So I know he can triumph over adversity. So I know he had that part. So I know he was able to bounce back from that. His father is a coach, I believe, in Texas somewhere. So I know he had what it takes to handle adversity and overcome some of the situations that he was dealing with. And you need that here in the city of Philadelphia. We have fans that will build you up today. By the end of the today, they will be screaming at your front door. They love you 1 minute, hate you the next. But we have one of the best fans in the NFL, Jalen Hurts. And I'm walking to Dallas. The whole city going to walk to Dallas with him. They're going to take care of any issue that he had on the streets from walking from here to Dallas. You know what I'm saying? So we have not just the best fans. We have some very, very crazy fans. So when you come to that stadium to support your team, it can be a scary situation for visitors when it comes to coming here to support your local team, for sure.
Wow, that Philadelphia fan base, no matter the sport, is extremely loyal and diehard.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to stay just once again with Jalen for a moment. The Eagles have had their share of Black quarterbacks throughout that organization. Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, and now Jalen Hurts. In your opinion, Dre, what makes Jalen different from those other gentlemen that have put on that Eagle uniform?
Wow, that's an awesome question. his heart in leadership. I think he's very vocal, and I think that's what separate himself from others. I think he's a natural leader. He's a born leader. The other quarterbacks, it seemed like they had to do it because they were, you know, it's usually the captain of the team is usually the quarterback and maybe the center and whoever the star is on defense, the safety or whatever the case, the linebacker, whoever it may is, he would be the captain regardless if he was the quarterback or one of the main stars. He's very in the community and he's very, vocal when it comes to, you know, huddles and getting the team ready for the following week. And I think that comes natural to him. It's not like, oh, the media wants him to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you're automatically a leader because you're the star quarterback. You understand? He could be that person that's on the D-line, the offensive line, whatever the case may be. But I think he's a natural leader. He's local. He's taking it with stride and poise.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely Jalen is destined to have a long career in the NFL, particularly with the Philadelphia Eagles. And you heard it from him. He's Dre Andrews. He is the founder, and he's the owner of Dre's Homemade Water Ice and Ice Cream. Dre, again, thank you so much, my man, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody where they could find you on social media, any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yes, yes. So, again, thanks for having me. I truly appreciate it. You can find us on Instagram at Dre's. That's Dre's Water Ice. That's Dre's as in Sam, Water Ice on Instagram. For Facebook is Dre's Water Ice and Ice Cream. My website, www.dre'siceCream.com. And you can follow us. We will be near a city near you very soon. Sure.
Awesome. Before I let you go, I know this is a silly question right here, but I know every city has their vernacular or has their slang, so to speak, or how they address someone, whether it be a compadre, a close buddy or whatever. John, J-A-W-N, that is quintessential Philadelphia. Can you explain to the listeners what John is and just where did it originate from?
Yeah, yeah. Where it originated from, I do not know. But it's definitely what you call it now. And John could be anything, you know. It could be anything. That John was good. Some people, everybody's using the word now. It's very popular. They drawing it out a little bit, overusing the word. But, yeah, if you hear the word John, you definitely know that person is native to Philadelphia. John could be anything. That joint was good. So whatever that person had in their hand, you know what it is. That joint was good. I'm going over, you know, you can use it however you want. But when you hear that word, you definitely know that's a Philly, word. It's a Philly term for sure. Joint is definitely a Philly word.
Awesome. And one more time, Dre, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And again, let them know the website.
Dre's Water Ice, that's Dre's Water Ice, on Instagram. Website is Dre'sIceCream.com. And just follow us on Instagram, maybe at a festival or a city near you. And if you heard us on this radio station, we have a festival that you're at, please approach us, let us know. We're very friendly company. We're family owned and operated. Majority of my staff is family. It's my wife, my brother, my cousins, and some friends that I grew up with over the years. And we're a big family. We love to interact with you and conversate with you if you ever run into us. So please follow us. And, you know, if you ever see us, come up to us and say hi.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Dre Andrews. He's the owner and founder of Dre's Water Ice and Ice Cream. Definitely a brother doing big things and continue to expand his business out of the city of brotherly love. And can't forget about the sisterly affection, of course. And Dre, thank you so much, my man. And once again, if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I will definitely be reaching out and Thank you for having me, and I would love to come back.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Dre Andrews, a native of the city of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the owner of Dre's Homemade Water Ice and Ice Cream. Again, a big special thank you to Dre Andrews for appearing on the program. And, of course, a big special thank you once again to all the guests that appeared on the program. All right, now let's do this. Let's preview week one of the 2023 NFL regular season. We have the season opener between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. So for Detroit, they're riding a high off of last season, knocking off the Green Bay Packers, and they made a lot of strides, winning some important games towards the end of last season. So they've got a lot of momentum coming into this 2023 season. Will Jared Goff take that next step as one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL? What about head coach Dan Campbell? Will he take that next step and maybe possibly win this year's Coach of the Year award? We'll have to see about that. But the Lions on the defensive side, Aiden Hutchinson. You've also got Jahmyr Gibbs on the offensive side there. Rookie running back, he's definitely going to make some noise this year. And the Lions, they've got a lot going for them coming into the season opener against the defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs. So Travis Kelce is questionable, hyperextended his knee in practice earlier in the week. So he's questionable for this game, but hey, when you've got number 15 as your quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, you definitely cannot go wrong. And so you're always going to have a chance to win. So despite questionable injury from Travis Kelce, and then you have the ongoing contract dispute between management and defensive end Chris Jones, the one thing that is stable is Patrick Mahomes and the head coaching of Andy Reid. So it's going to be a raucous crowd tonight at Arrowhead with the Detroit Lions going up against the Kansas City Chiefs with the season opener. We've got the Battle of Ohio between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. Joe Burrow didn't play in the preseason, got hurt in practice, but he's healthy. He's ready to go amidst talks of a contract extension coming up. I know he's going to be up for some big money, but in the meantime, when you have Joe Burrow in the mix, you've also got Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. The Bengals, I mean, hey, they're one of the premier teams, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL. So in this Battle of Ohio, you've got Joe Burrow and company marching to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Deshaun Watson, it's going to be interesting what he does now that he's going to play a full NFL season. So you've got Deshaun Watson in the mix. You've got Nick Chubb, also David Njoku, Amari Cooper, Myles Garrett, certainly the Browns. This is going to be an interesting game in the Battle of Ohio with Cincinnati and Cleveland. And certainly you got Joe Burrow going up against Deshaun Watson. This is a quarterback's league, and certainly we're seeing two dynamic quarterbacks going to put on a show in the Battle of Ohio. We've got the Houston Texans going up against the Baltimore Ravens. The Texans, the future is now with rookie quarterback out of Ohio State, C.J. Stroud. There's a new head coach with D'Amico Ryans. As for Baltimore, they took care of their business, locked down their quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Also, they signed Odell Beckham Jr. in the offseason. So Baltimore is prime. Baltimore is expected to do big things this year, and Baltimore looking to capitalize on that offseason momentum as they take on the Houston Texans. The Texans, young team, expect a lot of growing pains, and it's going to be a challenge as they're in Baltimore to play the Ravens. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the Minnesota Vikings. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady retired at the end of last season, so now this is the post-Brady era for the Buccaneers. Wide receiver Mike Evans, he's in a crossroads with management. He wants a new deal. There's a lot of friction behind that. However, during the offseason, they signed a quarterback, Baker Mayfield, signed a one-year contract with the team. So Tampa Bay, hopefully, they get 1 year out of Baker, maybe more years. We'll see what happens with that. But as far as the Minnesota Vikings are concerned, Kirk Cousins, hey, this is a make-or-break year for him. No Dalvin Cook. Dalvin is now a member of the New York Jets. And you have Justin Jefferson. So Justin Jefferson, I mean, hey, electrifying and unstoppable. That's what you get when you have a wide receiver like Justin Jefferson. T.J. Hockenson signed a big contract extension. That was big for the Vikings. So Tampa Bay and Minnesota, they're going to be playing at Minneapolis. It's going to be an interesting game. And certainly the Bucks and the Buccaneers and the Vikings, definitely going to be must-see TV. We have an AFC South matchup between the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. So for the Falcons, again, they have Desmond Ridder as their quarterback. They have the rookie running back in Bijan Robinson. Again, the Falcons have been going through some growing pains for quite some time now in the post-Matt Ryan era. Offensively, Atlanta should be fine in this game. Defensively, it remains to be seen. For Carolina, the future is now. Number one overall pick, rookie quarterback Bryce Young out of the University of Alabama. He's expected to do big things this year. And they added some veterans with the likes of Miles Sanders and Adam Thielen. So Panthers and Falcons, definitely going to be an interesting game. Two young quarterbacks, a lot of growing pains, but there's going to be some nice plays in this contest. We have the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Washington Commanders. So for the Cardinals, interesting offseason. Kyler Murray got the contract extension. There was some stipulations in that contract that not only embarrassed him, but also embarrassed the organization as well. They removed those stipulations. It pertained to devoting a certain amount of time to film study. But nevertheless, Kyler Murray, for the moment, is the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. He signed the contract extension. The Cardinals traded away Isaiah Simmons. So the Cardinals are in that growing pains process right now. The jury is still out on Murray as their quarterback, but the Washington Commanders, you talk about a very strange and a very interesting offseason. Dan Snyder sells the Washington Commanders to the ownership group led by Josh Harris and Magic Johnson. Ron Rivera remains the head coach, but they get a new offensive coordinator with Eric Bieniemy. There's a lot of promise behind quarterback Sam Howell. Also, you have wide receiver Terry McLaurin alongside Jahan Dotson. So this is going to be an interesting year for the Washington Commanders as they're in Landover, Maryland, right outside the nation's capital, to take on the Arizona Cardinals. We have an AFC South matchup between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. So for the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, listen, we talked about the Detroit Lions earlier. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one of those teams that have a big opportunity to jump not one, not two, but three hurdles. They jumped a big hurdle last year, beating the Los Angeles Chargers in a thrilling wild card playoff game. So we'll see what happens with Trevor Lawrence and company. As for the Indianapolis Colts, we talked about rookie quarterbacks with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Well, now they have Anthony Richardson as their quarterback, the rookie out of the University of Florida. So the Colts, we'll see what happens. We saw what happened with Jonathan Taylor asking for a trade. So far, nothing has come about as of yet, but right now it seems to me that the Colts, for the time being, it looks like it's going to be the Anthony Richardson era in Indianapolis. We have the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for the 49ers, man, what an interesting year it was for them last season. We started off the year with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback. He gets hurt. Well, I should say Trey Lance started off as the starting quarterback. He got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in. He gets hurt in the contest. And Brock Purdy, a.k.a. Mr. Irrelevant, the last overall pick in last year's NFL draft, just came out of nowhere. It was like lightning in a bottle and put up solid numbers behind that running game and that defense thanks to Christian McCaffrey coming over in a trade from Carolina. And then when you have Nick Bosa, who just got rewarded with a big contract extension, and then you have Fred Warner and company, man, the 49ers are, listen, they're at the peak of their powers right now. Purdy has the keys to the car. He's going to be driving it for a minute. Sam Darnold was signed in the offseason to a one-year deal. Trey Lance, that era didn't work out, traded to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a draft pick. So the Niners have their nucleus for the moment. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, listen, a lot of excitement in the Steel City for year two of the Kenny Pickett era. Kenny had some nice games last year, but they're expecting Pickett to take that next hop over that next obstacle and go over that next hurdle in his run as the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett, running back Najee Harris and company. And when you've got T.J. Watt, one of the best defenders in the league, hey, the sky is definitely the limit, definitely not the limit for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They can go higher, and certainly big things are going to in stake, not only for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but for the San Francisco 49ers. The next game that we're going to preview is the Tennessee Titans and the New Orleans Saints. First, for the Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill appears to be the starting quarterback, at least for this season. Malik Willis, not ready to be handed the keys to the car just yet. Will Levis, not ready yet, so they're going to go with the experienced veteran of Ryan Tannehill. They've got wide receiver Treylon Burks, and of course, you can't go wrong when you have running back Derrick Henry. As for the New Orleans Saints, made a big acquisition in the offseason, acquiring Derek Carr from the Las Vegas Raiders. And listen, Michael Thomas restructured his deal. Jimmy Graham is back. He came back during the offseason. A lot of expectations for the New Orleans Saints this year. In my opinion, I think Derek Carr, if everything goes well for him and he's healthy, he has a chance to be a candidate for not only comeback player of the year, but possibly league MVP. If he stays healthy, and the Saints can win. So it's going to be an interesting matchup down in the Crescent City between the Tennessee Titans and the New Orleans Saints. We have an AFC West matchup between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos. First, for the Raiders, they acquired Jimmy Garoppolo from the San Francisco 49ers. The Derek Carr era is over with, so they're expecting big things from Jimmy G this year. Josh Jacobs was a holdout for much of camp and much of the preseason. They were able to get a deal done with him, so now they have the bulk of their offense back. And as for the Denver Broncos, listen, Russell Wilson, he's a man on a mission this year, and he's on a mission because he's got a brand new coach. Out with Nathaniel Hackett, in comes Sean Payton. And certainly Payton has wasted no time getting Russell and the Broncos in line. And this is going to be an interesting season for the Denver Broncos. And this is the first week of the season. The game's taking place in Denver. So Raiders-Broncos is going to be an exciting and festive atmosphere in the Mile High City. We have the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the New England Patriots. So for the Patriots, still trying to figure out the kinks at the quarterback position. Mac Jones, we'll see what he does. He's still young, still in his development. However, he's got help in the running department. The Patriots signed running back Ezekiel Elliott to a one-year deal. So Bill Belichick is confident about Ezekiel Elliott and what he can bring to the table. Defensively, the Patriots are pretty solid, but they're going up against the defending NFC champions, the team that represented the NFC in last year's Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, rewarded with a massive contract extension. A.J. Brown, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Devontae Smith, you know what talent he brings to the table. Also, you've got Dallas Goedert at the tight end position. You've got DeAndre Swift, who came over in a big trade on draft night this year. Then when you have draft picks like Kaylee Ringo, N'Kobe Dean, and Jalen Carter, and you add along tried and true veterans like a Fletcher Cox, the Eagles, listen, the Eagles are not going to miss a beat this year, and they're hoping to not miss a beat as they head up to Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots. We have an NFC West matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. So the Rams, Matthew Stafford, experiencing growing pains. Now, he mentioned recently that he said he can't connect with his younger teammates because they're spending too much time on their phones and the social media. We'll see how that all plays out throughout the course of the year. No Cooper Kupp in this game. Cooper had a setback rehabbing from a hamstring injury, so no Cooper Kupp in this contest. As for the Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith, man, what an interesting season that Geno Smith had last year. Listen, people wrote Geno off so much, but guess what? I love a story of second chances, and I love redemption stories. And Geno Smith had a perfect example of a redemption story last year. And, of course, when you have Kenneth Walker III returning at the running back position, and, of course, wide receivers, right, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, what more could you ask for from the Seattle Seahawks? Going to be an interesting game in the Pacific Northwest between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. We've got the Miami Dolphins going up against the Los Angeles Chargers. For the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, hey, listen, he talked a lot of stuff during the offseason, says that he will put up better numbers in Miami than he did when he was in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. That remains to be seen on that. However, his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, people were worried about him after he suffered those devastating concussions last year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Hopefully his offensive line can protect him for the most part. As for the Los Angeles Chargers, defensively, Derwin James Jr., also Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, those guys are intact. Offensively, Justin Herbert got rewarded with a contract extension. So now it's time for Justin to, as they say, put up a shut up. And he's hopefully he'll be able to put up the numbers as the Chargers will take on the Dolphins. We got an NFC North rivalry game, a classic rivalry game between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. For the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, that chapter has come to an end. Enter a new chapter with Jordan Love. So Jordan's going to have his work cut out for him now that he's the full-time starter for the Green Bay Packers. Now, as far as the running game is concerned, they'll be able to help Jordan out with Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. As for the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields is expected to get over the hump. He's expected to over the next challenge and to take the Chicago Bears to the next level. As far as running game is concerned, you've got Khalil Herbert, you got David Montgomery. So the Bears, they're looking to make some noise this year. As for Green Bay, they're looking to move past the Rodgers era and enter the Love era as the Packers and the Bears play at Soldier Field in Chicago. Sunday Night Football, classic NFC East game between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. First for the New York Giants, quarterback Daniel Jones, much to the dismay of a lot of people, including myself, was rewarded with a massive contract extension. I don't know why. I think most of that money should have went to running back Saquon Barkley. Barkley had issues with management. They were able to work things out. Barkley was able to get a new deal, so the Giants are in place now as they'll be at the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey, to take on their rival, Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, hey, this is a make-or-break year for Mr. Prescott. When is it a make-or-break year for the Dallas Cowboys, right? Jerry Jones bringing over Trey Lance in the trade from San Francisco. What's going to happen? Is this going to impact Dak's play? What's going to happen going forward? Also, Cooper Rush is in the mix as well as the other backup. And then for the Cowboys, Tony Pollard got a deal done this year. I know Tony was one of the running backs very concerned about the treatment of the position and how the position's being devalued. But nevertheless, you've got Tony Pollard. You've also got CeeDee Lamb. He's going to make some noise this year as well. CeeDee Lamb and just a host of the other receivers that the Dallas Cowboys have. Cowboys and Giants, Sunday Night Football in New Jersey in the shadows of New York. What more could you ask for? And then Monday night, the big one, the Buffalo Bills going up against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. First for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. Listen, the biggest fish in the pond lands in New York, and he lands with the Jets. So the Jets not only get Aaron Rodgers, they also get Dalvin Cook. They also wind up getting Alan Lazard. When you have Garrett Wilson in the mix as well, you also have Sauce Gardner on the defensive side. Quinnen Williams signed a big contract extension during the offseason, so the Jets are primed and ready to go. As for the Buffalo Bills, listen, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, what more could you ask for, right? Von Miller, listen, Buffalo at the peak of their powers right now, offensively and defensively, and they're at the peak of their powers for Super Bowl expectations. Head coach Sean McDermott, he knows that the time is now. it's no time to play around. And certainly Buffalo, when they head down to New Jersey to take on the New York Jets, they know that it's Super Bowl or bust. And it's going to be a great one Monday night between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Buffalo Bills going up against the New York Jets. The New York Jets, as I mentioned earlier, got the biggest fish in the pond this year in getting Aaron Rodgers. What more could you ask for, right? Four-time league MVP, Super Bowl MVP, accomplishments out of this world. But when the last several years came about when he was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, you could just tell, I could just tell that the energy was off. Something just was not right. Something, he just felt like he didn't want to be there anymore. I think it was also partially due to him asking management to get him weapons that he needed, important positions on the offensive side, and on some positions on the defensive side as well. Management did not help him out as well, and we knew that the writings were on the wall. Well, it was only a matter of time before Aaron would leave Green Bay. Well, it did happen. He was traded and gone from Wisconsin to the Big Apple to become the quarterback of the New York Jets. So while we have Aaron Rodgers still at the peak of his power, still one of the best to ever do it, one of the best in the league, he'll go up against another quarterback that is one of the best currently doing it right now, and that's Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills. If you thought the Super Bowl expectations are high for the New York Jets, the Super Bowl expectations have been extremely high since Josh Allen has arrived with the Buffalo Bills. Allen, along with head coach Sean McDermott, also wide receiver Stephon Diggs and company, they're on a mission. This team is on a mission this year. After being eliminated in the playoffs by the Cincinnati Bengals, it left a sour taste in their mouth all offseason long. And Buffalo, they're going to march into the New Jersey Meadowlands on a mission, know that they're not to be played with. But also somebody else that's not to be played with, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Listen, he's done it for so long, and he's going to continue to do it as the quarterback of the New York Jets. The Buffalo Bills versus the New York Jets, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win week one's games. The season opener between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs is going to be a close one, but I like Kansas City to win. In the Battle of Ohio, Cincinnati and Cleveland, I think it's going to be a close game, but I like Cincinnati to win. I like the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Houston Texans, the Minnesota Vikings to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Carolina Panthers will beat the Atlanta Falcons. The Washington Commanders will beat the Arizona Cardinals. The Jacksonville Jaguars will beat the Indianapolis Colts. I like the San Francisco 49ers to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very close game down in New Orleans, but I like the Saints to beat the Titans. The Denver Broncos will beat the Las Vegas Raiders. The Philadelphia Eagles will beat the New England Patriots. The Seattle Seahawks will beat the Los Angeles Rams. I like the Los Angeles Chargers to beat the Miami Dolphins. I like the Chicago Bears to beat the Green Bay Packers. Sunday Night Football, very close game, but I like the New York Giants to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And Monday Night Football, the New York Jets will beat the Buffalo Bills. And there you have it. Those are my picks for week one in the 2023 NFL season. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to all of the guests on the show, Sonya Greenfield, Owen Whittleson, Scott Mason, and Dre Andrews. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.